I'd like to call to order the council meeting of Tuesday, February 19th, 2013. It's 6:30 p.m. And if everybody could stand with me for a moment of silence. Thank you. Please be seated. And if we could have Gabriel Allen come forward to do the flag salute. In fact, don't be seated. Stand up, because we're going to do the flag salute. My apologies. I want to make sure you stay awake. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Gabriel. He's 10 years old. He's a fourth grade student at Grover Beach Elementary School. He enjoys learning about life and meeting new people at school. And Gabriel enjoys living on the Central Coast because then he can spend more time with his father. Is your father out there tonight? No, but your teacher and your mom and your principal? Yeah, do you want to raise your hands, teachers, mom, principal? Okay. And what I want to do is you shake everybody's hand up here and then we'll go back and sit down.
Sure, why not?
Did a great job. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, it was
Thank
a good
you for
job.
Coming over.
It was a good job because it was nice and slow. You could all concentrate. Thanks, Gabriel. Could we have roll call, please, City Clerk?
Here.
And next we'll have the closed session announcements. City Attorney?
Thank you very much. On Monday, February 4, 2013, after the meeting in closed session regarding conference with labor negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, Agency Negotiator, City Manager, Administrative Services Director, Assistant Administrative Services Director, Human Resources Coordinator, Police Chief, and or Commander. The City Council reconvened into open session and announced there were no reportable actions taken. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We've reached the agenda review now, and at this time the City Council will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes to the order of the day. Are there any changes from anyone? Okay, I'd entertain a motion.
Mayor?
Yes.
May I ask a question? Would it be smart to take the last item on the agenda, item number 9? I know that we have a number of people that have submitted letters here, and I don't know whether it would be wise to change that and move that up. We're not, as far as I know, taking any action tonight.
Yeah, sure. It's good to do something like that when there are lots of people here. I think that's a great idea. Yeah. So we'll take number 9, and we will move it up, I guess, to before number 5, and then we'll just shift all the numbers down. Does that sound good?
That would be, yeah, I think that would be fine.
All righty.
Good idea.
If I don't do that, remind me.
Okay.
So then I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented with the modification of moving number 9 to proceed number 5 under regular business.
And I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries then. Moving now to the ceremonial calendar, this is a proclamation designating Tuesday, February 26th, 2013, as World Spay Day. Is there someone here to present or to take this? Okay. Oh, that's good. Nice to see you. Okay. So we'll go through this. We're going to share this one tonight. Bill, do you want to start?
Okay. The proclamation of the City of Grover Beach, City Council of the City of Grover Beach, designating Tuesday, February 26, 2013, as World Spay Day. Whereas pets provide companionship to more than 71 million households in the United States, and whereas human societies and annual shelters have to put down millions of cats, dogs, rabbits, and other animals each year, many of whom are healthy and adoptable due to a lack of critical resources and public awareness.
And whereas this tragic overpopulation of pets costs citizens and taxpayers of this country millions of dollars annually through animal service programs aimed at coping with the millions of homeless animals, and whereas spaying and neutering has been shown to dramatically reduce the overpopulation of pets and feral cats,
proving to be a wise investment in saving animal lives and taxpayer dollars.
And whereas veterinarians, national and local animal protection organizations, and private citizens worked together to ensure the spaying or neutering of more than 49,000 pets and feral cats through World Spay Day in the United States in 2012. And whereas veterinarians, national and local animal protection organizations, and private citizens have joined together again to advocate the spaying and neutering of pets and feral cats on World Spay Day in 2013.
Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Grover Beach that Tuesday, February 26, 2013, is designated World Spay Day. The City Council encourages all residents to observe the day by having their own pets spayed or neutered, or by sponsoring the spaying or neutering of another person's pet or of an animal in the shelter awaiting adoption. In witness thereof, I hereunto set my hand and cause the seal of the City of Grover Beach to be affixed this 19th day of February, 2013. Did you want to come forward and accept this or have something to say? Yeah. Okay.
Animal Services,
Woods Humane and Slow, North County Humane, and there is a new group in North County working with feral cats called Paws Paws and other groups. However, not everyone is still educated or worse cares, or the proverbial, I had been meaning to get Fluffy spayed, but breeding season is upon us here in mild coastal Central California. And actually, it's so mild here that cat breeding at least can go all year round. Now is the time to have your dog, cat, or rabbit spayed or neutered before a litter arrives. A little more about the feline network specifically. We work primarily from San Luis to Napomo. Our main program is our spay neuter certificate program that we provide to the public that require financial assistance who otherwise may not afford to get their cat or kitten spayed or neutered. In this instance, this could be their own pet or a feral animal that they are caretaking with food, water, and shelter. The residents of Grover Beach do call upon and make use of this financial assistance. Thank you, City Council of Grover Beach, for recognizing the importance of spaying and neutering by issuing tonight's proclamation.
Thank you for your good work on that. I know all of the council members are pet owners, so we're grateful. Now we're going to go to public communications. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on terms on items not in the agenda. And before I do that, I wanted to recognize we have a former mayor here, I believe. Jack Keane, were you mayor or just... Yes, you were mayor. Thank you for joining us tonight. Was there anyone from the... I'll open public comment. Is there anyone who wanted to come up and make any comments tonight? Items not on the agenda?
I guess I'll use this one. My name is Brad Snook. I'm the chair of our county's chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. I noticed that there's a item on the agenda regarding the sanitation district, a discussion. I'd like to give a more general public comment, and then I'll hang around for the item as well. I'd like to thank the council and the city of Grover Beach for the recent actions of the sanitation district, your representative, your alternate, asking some tough questions about what's going on there and what has gone on there. Surfrider's position on the issue is that those questions are long overdue. Financial questions need to be answered. Also, water quality questions. The citizens of Grover Beach and the sanitation district, we pay for the sanitation district to meet standards set by the water board. When the sanitation district does not meet those standards, they're letting us down. So what are we paying for? All the questions of water quality, whistleblowers, Other issues, the big spill, December 2010, those are issues that need to be resolved. We need better service. So Surfrider is here to work with the council, to work with the sanitation district, to help educate so that we can either upgrade the plant that was built in the 1960s or move that plant away from a floodplain so that we don't have another spill and we don't have more than $1 million to pay on fines. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Snook. Is there anyone else who'd like to come forward? Come on up. I think there are three of you now, so just jump up when Mr. Wysong is finished.
I'm John A. Wysong, Grove Ridge. I've been here over about 55 years. I never had a problem with water meter, 50 years, and just automatic. Now then, in the last year, my water meter is like a yo-yo. I'm getting tired of paying wife 80 and me 80 and my rental next door, a mother 40, kids 20-something for them. I pay more than they do. And so February 4th, the water meter man came from the city, and he came to the meter in the street and lawn. I said, how come you don't go down the street to the gadget like it's supposed to be? Well, it doesn't work. Malfunction. Problems. So he read the meter. I thought I'd get it today, but then last December was the same thing. He came to the meter in the yard, read the meter. Guess what? I was $30 less than when they were close. Because when I go cross country, I stop at different places and go into city hall, county, and they come in their work clothes. And find out, have them to tell you what's going on. Because they can read that hourly on your and my residence. I was never told that because I've had it up there every month, it seems like. So I want you both to go down there and pretend or just tell them you're. They know. And find out what is really happening. Because this is uncalled for. It's a disgrace. And you know, today on the news, or yesterday, Santa Maria was open during the holiday for revenue. And they got money. Guadalupe, they weren't open yesterday, but they're open 5 days. You're closed. You have 1.5 million people coming through here, and you got 30 stores. So it's a Guadalupe. But they don't have 1.5. They have produce trucks, 18-wheelers going through. And their streets are
better.
Can
you wind up now, Mr. Wysong? Thank you very much.
I'm just telling you, if you want to be mayor, and if you're going to elect a council member, make sure they have common sense, and they have business, and they know a little bit about practical experience.
Thank you, Mr. Wysong.
Not wishy-washy.
Now, who's the next? Here we go.
Piece of paper, sir. I'm item number 4, can I talk about it now?
No, you'll need to wait until just before that.
Hello again. As I said earlier, I'm the owner of Green Bargain. I'm on 9th and Grand, right in the middle of where the construction is. And I'm usually not very active. I do my cat stuff, and I don't usually do too much of other stuff. But I've actually owned Green Bargain now for 6 years. And I've had a frustration there the whole 6 years, which is a parking issue. In fact, I can't even speak civilly to my neighbors on the block because the back parking lot is always full, but it's mainly the people that are the owners and employees of those businesses. So when you say to them, Rabobank, our neighbor, will kindly let you park in their parking lot, it's only a 20 or 30 second extra walk over there. That's deaf ears. There's certain business people there. You can see their car in that back parking lot for 8 hours, the whole workday. They may or may not go to lunch. I could tell you a few stories, but I guess I won't say that now. So now that we're having construction, it's even worse. And when I have customers, and this has happened the whole 6 years that I have been owner there, customers come, Oh, I wanted to stop, but I couldn't. And that's how customers are. They want easy parking. I know that in Arroyo Grande, especially in the village, they give tickets. And I know people down there, even I, you know, I have to come and unload my truck. And yes, you'll forget sometimes, but guess what? You get a ticket. So maybe next time you wouldn't forget to park there for 8 hours or 6 hours. So I don't know the answer. Well, I do know the answer. The answer is in order for customers to have some parking, the people that work there for multiple hours need to park further away. And Rabobank has a huge parking lot. It's not like, anyway, there is an option. Anyway, I've been here 6 years. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here. There you go.
Thank you very much. And if I could comment, we do have a new organization, the Grover Beach Business Alliance, which is going to tackle that problem, and some others as well, and I think they're working with the chief on that. So, and, of course, we'd love to have you get involved and work with us on that. So thank you for bringing that up. Is there anyone else who wanted to comment during public comment? Okay, seeing none, I will close public comment. And we'll come back to our public hearing section. And if I could just briefly, and I won't do this every meeting because we'll all get sick of hearing it, but if I could just explain the process, because I know a lot of times when folks are coming before the council, when you don't know how it works, it's much more intimidating, and it's also much, much more easy to misunderstand. So the way this operates is council members and members of the public all get the information that's on the agenda at the same time. It's all available to all of us at the same time, so we all have time to do some homework on it and ask our questions of staff if we have them. And then after that, when we come to the meeting, if you've sent emails or if you've sent letters in, we will get those. Or if they come in before when the packets are sent out, we'll get those with the packets. Also, for public hearings, before each hearing, the public will have an opportunity to come forward and give us their views. And we do it that way for a reason. We don't make any decisions up here yet until we've heard from the public. So we do want to hear from you, and that's why we do it that way. So what we'll do is when we have an item, we'll hear a report from staff, we'll ask any questions we have, and then we'll open it to you out in the public to give us whatever feedback you have to give to us.
Two types of CDBG programs, entitlement and non-entitlement. In 2011, the council opted out of the entitlement program in order to become a participant in the non-entitlement program beginning in the 2012 funding cycle where we're at now. The primary reason to the change to the non-entitlement program is that it can greatly increase the funding opportunities for public infrastructure and public facilities in the city. The non-entitlement program, using federal monies, is administered by the State Department of Housing and Community Development, or HCD. Last month, HCD released its Notice of Funding Availability, NOFA, and this the CDB applications in response to this NOFA need to be submitted by April 12th of this year. In order to submit an eligible application, the council has to hold two public hearings to discuss the potential application and allow for public input. The first hearing tonight will allow public comment on what types of eligible activities the city should apply for, and the second public hearing will be to discuss the actual application, approve the application, and directing staff to then submit it to HCD. So the evaluation criteria of these applications, they are competitively rated and ranked amongst all cities and counties in the state of California that are part of the non-entitlement program. The points are generally awarded based on four main categories. Briefly, need and benefit.
Mayor, can I interrupt for just one second?
Sure.
And I apologize, Bruce. I'm noticing on the TV that there's actually your presentation, but it's not behind you. Is that supposed to be behind you?
Well spotted. Thank you.
City staff's going to help.
Thank you.
Great. Whoops. There we go. Thank you. Thanks for pointing that out. Okay. Director Buckingham.
I thought something was really wrong. Okay. So back to the evaluation criteria. Four general criteria. Need is the severity of a health and safety hazard, or benefit typically applies to percentage of low and moderate income households that benefit from the project. It's key to understand that the higher the low and moderate income percentage, the higher the score because of the direct benefit to the low and moderate income households. Readiness is generally determined by how ready the project will be upon award of funds and experience of the staff or consultant in performing the activity. Capacity, performance generally refers to report and expenditure timeliness. And lastly, the state objective. Typically, the state provides additional points for applications that meet certain objectives, and those change from year to year. This year, points are given to applications from cities that were not successful in obtaining funds last year, so we won't get extra points there because we did not apply last year. Also for program or public service programs to provide job training, and most importantly for public improvement projects that address and provide for potable water delivery. So this year's NOFA allows eligible cities to apply for a maximum of three activities with total funding not to exceed $2 million, and that includes administrative costs. So there are six activities, or program activities as we refer to them, public improvements, public facilities, public service, planning and technical assistance, housing and business assistance, and I want to walk through those a little bit later. So again, key here is the any of these activities must meet one of the three national objectives that are provided in the CDBG federal statutes. One, they have to benefit low and moderate income persons, or two, they have to prevent or eliminate slums or blight, or three, they have to meet an urgent community need which poses an immediate threat to health and safety if you had a tsunami or earthquake or something like that. So clearly of these three, the objective that we're focusing on is benefit to low and moderate income residents in the city. So in order for flood control, curb gutter sidewalk improvements, if you notice in the staff report, we discussed a couple of projects, but we wanted to show you or demonstrate that they didn't primarily serve residential areas, and so they became ineligible as a public improvement project. It should be noted that street repair is not an eligible activity for these grant monies. Staff identified only two projects, public improvement projects, that were CDB eligible. The first is a waterline replacement project that would upgrade many substandard 2- and 4-inch water lines located throughout the city. These lines are deficient in size, and many are beyond their useful life. The project would receive additional points because of meeting the state's objective of a potable water project. And the second project we identified was just a citywide curb gutter sidewalk and handicap ramp replacement. Under public facilities, again, a maximum grant of $1.5 million. These projects include acquisition, rehabilitation, or new construction of buildings used for public purposes, such as health services, education, recreation. We identified two potential new projects, Cleaver Park, which you're familiar with, or a senior center. We also have the one rehabilitation project for Mentone Basin Park. But as noted in the staff report there, I think it's $41 million in CDBG grant monies. They proportion, some larger proportions go to public improvements, and what we found, at least in recent years, a very small amount has gone to public facilities, and so they've become so competitive that we've been told by the consultant that only two new projects were even funded last year out of the public facilities category. So chances, unfortunately, seem very low in that group. Planning and technical assistance. These are, you can apply for up to two studies here for a maximum of $100,000. These are studies or preparations of plans for future projects. We identified five potential projects, shown economic development strategy update. conceptual street plan for 13th Street, feasibility study for a roundabout at 4th and Grand, consistent with the Grand Avenue master plan, housing element update, which is upon us this year, and senior center feasibility study. The next category is housing, with a maximum grant of up to $1 million. These projects include rehabilitation, homeownership assistance, and land acquisition. Housing rehabilitation would provide a grant to the city, and then the city subsequently makes loans for repairs and improvements to owner-occupied or renter-occupied at a low interest rate, typically between 0 and 3%. If you recall, a couple years ago, with the use of redevelopment agency funds, the city did implement this program on their own. There were 13 owner-occupied units that qualified, and we spent about $152,000. So here we have some experience in implementing this program. The homeownership assistance provides, again, a grant to the city, which then it loans to first-time home buyers for assistance with down payment or closing costs. Last year in the non-entitlement program, we applied for a home grant, as it's referred to, for this program, and we were unsuccessful in that application. Again, same thing there. In our first year, we didn't score extra points for being denied previously, so chances do get better the second year. And then public service, again, this is a maximum grant of $500,000. These projects include child care, health care, recreational programs, homeless services, senior services that benefit low and moderate income households. This kind of grant would require the city to likely partner with a local organization to design a program that would fit their needs. If the council is interested in that in future years, you should indicate, and we would start working on that process prior to next year's funding phase. And the last one is business and microenterprise assistance. These programs are for business training, financing of working capital, equipment, property repairs. Again, this one provides a grant to the city. We would go out and make loans to eligible businesses. These are typically businesses that don't have access to conventional lending sources. Currently, staff's not aware of any businesses that fit into that category, though we haven't been actively seeking those with this process. But what we would do, we've been working on a information handout packet to all new businesses that would be coming City Hall for their business tax certificate, and we'd make them aware of this program so that in the future, if there is interest, we can make the council aware of that. Lastly, not part of these six categories is another grant that was part of this NOFA, and that's the Economic Development Over-the-Counter, which this is the council and input from Adams Ashby on which projects would likely score higher. Staff would recommend an outline for the CDBG application process as follows, and that would be that, you know, it's kind of a how you strategize to maximize your grant. And as you saw, that public improvements, the public facilities, those were both $1.5 million dollars, and trying to get to this total of $2 million. So based on our review of it, we would look at a public improvement project. The waterline replacement project would appear to be a stronger project because of the extra points this year. That would be a total of $1.5 million. We definitely believe that going after two of the planning and technical assistance projects, those two would total $100,000, and that would leave approximately $400,000 for then some type of housing project. So in conclusion, we're requesting staff review the selected or select the projects identified either in the staff report or based on suggestions from the council or the public this evening. Again, once you've given us the direction on which projects you'd like to see, then we would do do more study, especially if it was a public infrastructure project. The application has to include some kind of conceptual design, engineer's estimates, and so there is more work to be done on that. So you're not making any official decisions tonight. You're just directing staff to go back, and then we would return at the March 18th meeting with the final draft application, if you will, for additional input from the public and council before a final decision is made. So With that, that concludes staff's report. We'd be happy to answer any questions, especially if they're more project specific.
Thank you. I'm going to start on my left because I think Councilmember Lee had a lot of questions before we started. So do you want to?
Just a couple. Thank you. Thanks for that presentation, Bruce. Probably a tongue-in-cheek question, but hopefully it gets us going in the right direction. For the waterline improvement project, obviously there's pavement over water lines. How wide can the trench be? Maybe half a street width? That we can then do and then do some.
There is a reasonable amount. I don't know if there's any guidance in the NOFA, but we did discuss this, whether it was water or in the future storm drain or even curb gutter and sidewalk for drainage purposes. There may be some additional street improvements that will qualify. Okay. You just can't be egregious, I think. And
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Could I piggyback on that one? If we're doing sidewalks and water lines, can we also lay fiber optic conduit at the same time?
The simple answer is no. Whether or not you could take city monies and then add that to the project would be a question for the consultant.
Okay. I'd like you to add that to your consultant question list. Thank you, Councilmember Lee.
One question. In looking through the staff report, there was a discussion about, if I can find it here, the level of low and mid or moderate income areas in the city that would need to be part of the application process. And I'm seeing three tracks and blocks, mostly south of Grand Avenue. So is that where the waterline improvements or any of the actual physical projects would be directed towards?
Well, good question. The city has two ways of applying for something. If we apply citywide as a result of the income survey we did just a year and a half ago, the low-moderate percentage overall in the city is 57%. So that means anything we do in the city, in a citywide project, basically we're going to end up with that as our percentage. Or if you were to create a project that's within a certain census block, as you've been shown in your table here, there are some individual census blocks that do qualify. You have to be at 50% or more. So part of the strategy when you look at Tract 124, Block 4, which happens to be this area right here, that is by far the highest percentage of low-moderate income. And so you would be, that would score better. We looked, therefore, that was our first inclination, was to look at that area and see, well, what projects can we concentrate within that area? Unfortunately, it takes in the Akui property, undeveloped, most of the South Farrell industrial area, as well as some of the industrial area here on the west side of South Fourth. It leaves you a very small residential neighborhood, which again is key to providing that benefit to low moderate income. And we even looked within that, you know, are there a couple of water lines or projects within that area? Probably, but now you're talking about $100,000 grant application rather than going citywide and going after. That's 100 hours of staff time to update and move it forward through the process, or does that mushroom into something that's hundreds of hours and gets even beyond staff's expertise? And so that's difficult at this point to assess. There, we do need to update the housing element this year, and it's always a time-consuming process because of the public input that's wanted and necessary as part of the project. And so I think in the past, I want to say when Lisa Wise Consulting did our update, it was, I want to say, in the $40,000 range for that contract. So if the council selected that, it might be less than $40,000 that would be needed to update it this time around.
But to kind of continue that line of questioning just a second here, is the studies that you are thinking of possibly bringing forward would have more or a more defined scope, where the housing and the housing update is still a little bit of unknown quantity of what needs to be done to update it?
I think that and I can elaborate on each scope. I mean, I think they're pretty well defined. What makes the housing element a little bit more difficult to define is it could be less than it has been in past years. And so that's good news. The question is, and I wasn't able to get a response from our housing consultant that prepared the last update as to what they believe might be the time factor in this. So that's something that I'd be happy to, you know, you could direct us to go back and look at more than two, and I could come back and report on the 18th and be hopefully more detailed about what the approximate cost would be of that. That's all I have for now.
Okay. Councilmember Nichols, did you have questions?
I do have. I did speak to Mr. Buckingham earlier today, and I think it would be worthwhile to ask you to again elaborate on, right at the moment, I think the most important thing we have going on here is the Beachfront Lodge and Convention Center, and we discussed the possibility of putting that in as a potential grant. Could you elaborate on that a little bit, please, as similar to what we had this morning?
Sure. So first of all, the decisions you're making tonight don't affect that economic development over-the-counter grant. Staff is already clear on the council direction, and we're pursuing that. And as I said, we're going through the first step of just getting the information together. Where it has a potential benefit is that this is a loan directly to the applicant for public improvements. And as part of the financing plan that the council is moving forward with for the lodge, this could be a different source of funding as opposed to a bond or some other type of funding source for public improvements. Mind you, one of the first questions that we will discuss with HCD is this grant would cover public improvements. The public improvements identified by the council for the lodge are water, help me out here, street improvements, utility undergrounding. Well, all three of those we've preliminarily already identified another funding source of enterprise funds. So the big question would be, would the conference center or the public improvements to the state park, would those even qualify for this economic development grant? So all worthwhile questions, and we'll be pursuing those diligently in the next month or so.
Okay. That's all I have at this time.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
I just was wondering about, since the train station happens to be in that one track that is in such a high percentage area, so because it is, there's so much industry and so on in that area, was there nothing in the works that we could utilize for?
It's a little bit difficult to make out on this map, but we believe that this boundary right here is actually the railroad track, so it's everything
on
we're
the on
the, east.
I'm on the wrong side.
Side. That's
side that, of the
that's,
track.
I didn't want to say that.
Okay. So on the wrong side of the tracks for that.
But again, in looking at this track 121, block 4 here, here's 4th Street. So you have a primarily industrial area here, commercial on Grand Avenue. I mean, you literally have only 8 or 10
right.
blocks here in total that are residential. And so, yeah, we drove those areas. We
right.
looked at the improvement plans. And we just didn't see any big project that those income groups, whether that would qualify.
Okay.
But then you would be obviously limiting then right off the bat who you can help. But good question, and we'll look into that one.
I think just to clarify a little bit is we've had some feedback from college students that they like to be more of the community, and they feel like that might be something they could do better here. So might be interesting to find out if college students qualify as they are low income, probably, but that might be an interesting question.
You know, I've been learning a lot in this process, and it surprised me. We asked about preschool and afternoon care for students, and that is not what they would consider an eligible group, whereas seniors are assumed to be low, moderate income. So they have some interesting criteria.
Thank you. And so while we're on seniors, I recall being on when we were on the I was on the Planning Commission, Cleaver Park had a plan to develop a senior center. Is that still something we're looking
at? Well, the Cleaver plan has been conceptually approved, and that building, I think there were two things that were being looked at primarily. One is preschool and after-school care, as well as providing senior activities. So there the trick would be you would definitely want to have the senior program is the primary program, and that would be why you're moving forward. And then there's some allowances that you can have that for during the day, let's say, but then you could use it for other types of activities in the evening as an example. And is that accurate? Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And I believe I had one other question. The way you've presented this, it certainly looks as though there's some things that we're pretty sure could get funded. There's some things that we probably have other sources for. So you will presumably then be weighing those up and try to direct the bulk of the funds towards funds that we couldn't get for something else, perhaps, and that we're most likely to get?
Well, I think that's why we kind of came out with this outline. I mean, this whole purpose of this meeting really is, again, to get as much input as possible and consider things that, you know, staff overlooked or were not aware of. But when you look at trying to maximize the $2 million grant amount, we just kept on coming back to, in knowing that public improvements have been a priority of the council, the water line replacement project it accomplished several things. I didn't elaborate, but within our capital improvement program project, this could also include upgrades to the nitrate plant. Mr. Ray could elaborate. You would end up with new fire hydrants as a result of this because you're now increasing line size and from the 2 to 4 inch to standard 8 inch, and you'd be getting rid of some of these wharf heads that exist in the community. So it also had some fire suppression benefits as a result of it, but the application would be submitted as benefits to potable water system. There would just be other things that would be included as part of the project description.
So that begs another question for me. So the fire hydrants are the responsibility of the city, not of the five cities fire authority?
Correct.
Okay. All righty. One more question from Councilmember Lee.
I apologize for that. Going back to public facilities for just a second with regards to the Cleaver Park and the Senior Center. You were saying that there was only two new public facility projects that were funded last year. Is this, and unfortunately trying to read the state's mind is going to be very difficult, but does that mean that a project needs to be on that list for so many years before it makes its way to the top, in which case we need to do an application in order to get on that list to be funded 5 years from now?
My understanding is that, first of all, again, the state objectives or priorities can change from year to year. You do get extra points if you've been denied previously. So that's the benefit of submitting for a project. It gets denied, you'll gain extra points next year. But I think ultimately you're up against we want to build a senior facility and Guadalupe wants to build a senior facility. Because their low, moderate income percentage is going to be so much higher, that right away is going to give them an advantage and scoring more points in that category. Again, you'd have to demonstrate need or other reasons as to why you would be more competitive.
Any other questions before we go to public comment? No. Okay, so I'm going to open it now for public. Oh, sorry, Bill, did you have one? Okay, I'll open it for public comment. Is there anyone from the public who wanted to come forward? Oh, seeing none then, we'll close that and bring it back to the council for discussion. Councilmember Nichols.
Yeah. if we, in fact, go ahead with the recommended action that you have suggested this evening, you have the three projects that you are mentioning.
Tonight.
Okay, I'm sorry then. I didn't get that out of the report. I assumed the way it's put in the report that it was part of this whole project.
Yeah, it gets confusing. It's part of this notice of funding availability, but it's not part of the application that needs to be submitted in April for the total project of $2 million. Because, again, that could be up to $3 million. So just a different process, and we will pursue that.
Okay. All right. That clarifies that. Thank you.
I actually had another question, too. And it may be here in the report, but there's a lot to assimilate. I'm wondering why you made the choice up there of the waterline improvements as opposed to the sidewalks and ADA improvements.
Two reasons primarily. One, Adams Ashby Group and their experience looking at other cities that apply for curb, gutter, sidewalk, handicap. I don't know if it's because it's so common. And again, if everybody's applying for it, you get back to the low moderate income percentage. If we're at 57% and someone is at 70, or someone has focused that in on one of the census blocks that's 70%, then they would score higher. So their overall opinion was those projects do not typically score as high. And then second, as it just so happened, the potable water project, because of the extra points that were gained this year, they felt that that would be a stronger project.
Okay, so then if we have other funds available, those could go towards sidewalks. If is a big if.
Right, but mind you, the benefit of a water replacement project is that in our capital improvement project program right now, I think starting next year, we have programmed $300,000 a year 4 years in a row, mm-hmm. because that's how badly we need water improvements. And the reason they're not happening sooner is because we're having to recapitalize the water fund. And so if you get a grant like this, not only does that mean you'd be able to knock everything off of your list in your capital improvement program for water, but right. it would then free up additional water enterprise funds for even further improvements.
And might help us to keep our rates a little lower for a little longer. Okay, thank you. So, comments? Yes.
And that's exactly where I was headed with this. I am really pleased to see the water line replacement project at the top of the list here, particularly since we are looking at a request for water rates to be increased because of the capital improvement project that we're looking at. I'm seeing that these grants are going to be announced in June. If we were lucky enough to get this $1.5 million, it would just be a major boon to this town and to our water fund. So I'm really pleased to see what you've done here. So I'm really looking forward to seeing your application. So I'm pleased. So I would support what you have here on the board. Thank you.
No additional comments. I'm ready to move forward.
No. Okay. Well, and I don't. Oh, sorry, Bruce. Did you have something else?
Well, this was the tricky part about trying to provide the council with what staff is looking for. So we've identified five of the planning and technical assistant grants as ideas. If you looked at those, they all average about $50,000. So we can't apply for all five of those. So what we're looking for is a council discuss how you'd prioritize those and basically selecting two, or if you wanted to also add in the housing element update as so that you can get further information, we would return with an application that would include those. But it does require the council's deliberation on which of those projects they feel might be the most important to include as part of the application.
So those are on page 5, about halfway
right.
down. Okay. Anybody want to weigh in on this?
Okay. Well, I will, to get it started. I do believe that we should include a look at the housing element update. So I think that should be part of it. I like the idea of the conceptual street plan for North and South 13th Street. And and the economic development strategy update, I think, is important as well. So I think I would probably, those three would be my top priority, I think.
I would concur with those three. So.
Council.
Realizing that,
go ahead.
So realizing that Mr. Buckingham has $100,000 programmed in here, and that's $130,000. So
right.
Is that, would the cost get refined?
Well, I concur with that. Did you have any input on that? No? Okay, so.
I'm okay with that.
I like those three too. So it would seem to me that the logical thing to do would be to refine a bit on the costs and also on the likelihood of getting them and whether or not there would be any other funds available. And you guys can weigh that up and come back on that. And
so
then you need help from us on the housing,
right,
as well.
So
okay, page 6, the top of page 6.
So as we highlighted, this can be actually a combination of rehabilitation and homeownership assistance. As you saw in the staff report, we kind of threw out an idea about land acquisition for 10th and Farrell. It's such an unusual circumstance that even the consultant really didn't know how to respond as to how CDBG would look at that. So I guess we're going to, as you deliberate, we want to check out. You can choose, I know, that either you can choose rehabilitation and homeownership assistance. So you could say $200,000 from each. I just don't know how the land acquisition would fit into that. So
I have a question on that one, too. I know that. I might have interpreted the staff report wrong, but it seemed like it said that we probably had done as much as we needed to do on the rehabilitation. We'd been quite successful at that.
Well, it was true. That was for owner-occupied. And remind you, these are, in that case, it was a zero-interest loan. To find qualified low-moderate-income homeowners, I mean, this is a loan that they're taking out. It's a debt that they're taking on. So even though it's zero interest, not everybody is interested in doing that. The housing rehabilitation could also be focused for non-owner occupied, and you know that means in that kind of program we would need to go out and advertise, and it's hard to gauge the demand at this point. So
I think that's a good idea because over 50% of our housing stock is non-owner occupied.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know there are, you know, landlords have financial problems too these days. So
again, if the council was interested in that, we would come back with some additional information and discussion with Adams Ashby.
Okay. Anybody want to weigh in on this one?
I would suggest we go with it.
With the housing rehabilitation, non-owner occupied?
Correct.
Okay. And then if we are able to co-join it with another one, what would folks' thoughts on that be?
Homeownership assistance.
Okay. I agree.
I would agree with that as well, notwithstanding that unless the consultant comes back or somebody comes back and says 10th and Farrell is an eligible project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it's eligible.
But that's unlikely, it sounds like.
Yeah,
well, and you can't choose then you'd have to choose either rehabilitation or assistance as one, and I believe the land acquisition is another. So we'll try to press them for whether the land acquisition is even feasible. We will focus on the combination of rehab and homeownership assistance.
Yeah.
And $200,000 each, $300,000, $100,000, I mean, if you,
I guess my initial sense is we would, in just a gut check here, probably would have more interest in the rehabilitation than the assistance, just based upon past knowledge or past experience. So I guess I would lean towards the 300, 100, but I don't have a strong feeling against 200, 200.
Well, I don't know that we've ever had an experience with a homeowner assistance because we weren't successful when we applied.
So would we be more likely to be successful this year because they turned us down last year?
That was under a different grant program.
I see. Okay.
Oh, because that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But so we don't really know about the homeowner assistance. We weren't.
Yeah.
We didn't have. Is that what you're talking about? I mean,
I was thinking we haven't had a whole lot of local people coming forward and asking for a program such like that.
Oh, I see.
I guess is where I was was thinking.
I think that being a real estate broker, in my experience, if there's something like that, local lenders usually jump on it and market it.
Mm-hmm. I would think so.
And our homes in Grover are more affordable than some of our next-door neighbors and less than others. But I think that... I'm inclined to agree, though, that I would want to throw more at the housing element first and then see how this one goes. If it's successful and there's still a need, we can come back to it the next year, perhaps, with asking for more.
Well, alrighty. I mean, whatever. It's really kind of a crapshoot at this point anyway, isn't it, really?
So yeah.
So whatever you folks think.
Those items? No? Okie dokie.
I'll move that we approve the consent agenda.
I'm sorry. Is there somebody who wanted to speak on number four? Let's can we pull number four now? Or can we just let them come up and then do the consent agenda?
Yes, that would be fine.
Okay. So I'll open public comment. So sorry, sir. We want to hear from you and anybody else.
This is item number four?
Yes.
I reside at 375 South 8th Street. I am the tenant. And on January 24th, I got a call from somebody at the city wanted me to come in and verify that either I rent or don't rent that residence because the owners are under some deed restriction not to rent it. So I talked to the owner, and I told the owner about this, that I got a call from the city. And about an hour later, she comes to my place with clothes, moving her clothes into my place, saying that she lives here now at 375 South 8th Street. Just to get around this deal, you know, she signed this document from you guys last year stating that she lives there with me.
Oh.
She doesn't live there with me. That's her husband, right there. Shame on you, sir. They don't live there. I live there alone. I gave Bruce all my documents, you know, to show my lease and everything. So it's okay that you release them from the program, but here they are stealing your money. You're only supposed to lease this thing out 2 months a year. So for 10 months, they've been garnering all this money. You know, so they're under a deed restriction, this low-income, moderate housing thing. So basically, you know, it's just moving their stuff into my place, saying they live there, just to appease you guys, you know. What I'm saying is they signed a document, this low-income housing document, and they're not supposed to be renting the place. So another thing is that they've already collected 2 months of rent this year, and that's all that they can collect under your program. So either I can write you guys a check for next month's rent, or they can come up here and say they won't collect the rent. I'm moving out in April anyway. What I'm saying, this whole thing is just a joke. You know, they stole my mail. They locked my mailbox up. They went up to the post office and told the post office master that I just rent a bedroom and I shouldn't get my mail there. This all happened in the last couple of days, specifically for this meeting. You know, for them to get this thing released, which is fine. But what I understand is that the deed restriction still stands about them not being able to rent it out. But they will rent it out once I move out, I guarantee you. They're dishonest, you know, so that's all I got to say.
Thank you for coming forward. And I'm wondering, I know that in some cases on the deed restrictions, and I don't know if the city attorney has this information this evening, but I know sometimes it's possible to rent them out if you're doing it at the right low, moderate income rates. Can you help us with that?
Yes, it depends on the agreement, but that really wouldn't be at issue for today's hearing. So today's issue, based on the agenda, is only regarding removal of the deed restriction. So if you want to discuss the agreement or potential breach of the agreement, we could set that for another day, another time.
Okay, we'll give that some consideration. Thank you very much. And so you don't know, do you know at this point whether that was a unit that could be rented out at low income or low to moderate income, or was it restricted to 2 months?
I'd have to read the whole thing, but that's not on the agenda, so
I
don't really want to give an analysis of that.
Right. Okay, thank you. Was there anyone else who wanted to come forward?
My name's Mike Miller, and I am the co-owner of 375 South 8th with my wife. My wife bought that as a low income when she was single, and she She had every intention of staying there, but because of physical problems, she couldn't climb the stairs. The thing about, it's probably irrelevant anyway, Jackie or I, neither one, have stolen anybody's mail. That's a lie, as of a lot of other things. We're trying to sell the unit. She also spoke to several people from the city before she did anything to make sure what she was doing was legal and correct. So she's not a crook. She's not a real estate flipper or whatever they do. She's just an honest woman trying to sell her unit, and we're trying to have Steve evicted. That's it.
Thank you very much. Anybody else who wanted to come forward? If you could give us your name, too.
I'm Jason Bork, the broker that's had the property listed. I've had the property listed now for 300 days. The city requested that we reduce the price to $255,000, which is what they basically...
What's being asked here has nothing to do with rentals. It just has to do with, will we remove the deed restriction because of the circumstances? And my understanding is that the city is recommending removing that because there's really no benefit in doing otherwise to the city or anybody else. Is that correct? Chief Copsey.
That's correct. And the basis for that is because of the dollar value of the unit and what it can be sold at, what it can be marketed for, mm-hmm. and whether it meets the moderate income levels or not, it still can't be sold for what the market value is necessary for moderate income. So it's really not that big of an issue, and the city is at this point doesn't have the money or an interest to purchase it, which is what we're basically removing from the restrictions. We have
Thank
the first
you.
Right of refusal, I guess, of purchasing the property for fair market value.
Thanks. And I'd like to comment on that, too, because I'm representing some clients in Arroyo Grande who have the same situation. And Arroyo Grande has released a number of them because basically the guidelines are such that the city can't sell them at a high enough price to make it worth the city's. It's not worth the city keeping them. And there's really no point in forcing people to be unable to sell their properties. So rental situations aside, it's a no-win if we don't do it. And I will say that Arroyo Grande has been a lot quicker to do it, and I think 300 days is a long time for them to make that effort as well. So that's something it's not on our agenda, but we might want to consider that at a later date, too. I think they've certainly put the time in on that, and we thank you for that. Any other comments?
May I ask a question? Mm-hmm. And I do understand that because, as a matter of fact, at the Housing Trust meeting, Arroyo Grande had been talking about that, and actually it's taken up a lot of their time now having to go back and redo a lot of those. But so I guess my question is, what happens if they are in violation of the agreement that they signed?
If they
do we go back and revisit that? Or?
Well, it has nothing to do with what we're discussing today. So
okay.
If that's something you'd be interested in, we can provide that information to you by confidential attorney-client memo and outline the options that would be available.
Okay. All right, then, because I'd like to discuss that. I mean, obviously, we certainly...
I think if everybody's in agreement, we can agendize a report because this will come up again, I believe. So maybe
okay,
for one of the later meetings, we could agendize a report on that so
okay.
we have a little bit better understanding.
Madam Mayor, if I make it specific, agendize a report on this specific incident regarding rental agreements or rental agreements in general for lower moderate income housing?
Not necessarily on this specific one, but I think it would be useful to me certainly, and the council probably to understand what the terms are. So can they actually rent them out? I think that would be helpful to have that information. And then
I think it could be different.
It might be.
But I think we need something on this one, I think. I mean, I'm looking at it right here. I think we need something on this one.
it'll be a little bit late because we'll have already made our decision tonight.
Well, but I don't know what the consequences are.
They haven't sold the home. They're two different issues, completely different. One is not determinative of the other.
All right. So maybe we could get confidential on this one
and then
have maybe a general discussion on if our terms and conditions are the same on all of them or if they differ, what they are actually in our city, and maybe whether or not we ought to consider loosening up those marketing guidelines a little bit.
Mayor Peterson, if I could, I could give you some answers to this. I think they come under basically two categories. There is owner-occupied. That means it was sold to that person, and they must reside in the unit 10 months of the year minimum.
Okay, so that's
the situation here.
Okay.
We also have, of course, rental units at low or moderate income. Every year, at the end of the year, we send out a request basically asking the owner or renter to confirm that they're there, and as for a rental, we'll go through the property management company to determine what the rent level is to make sure that it is consistent with the county guidelines that we use for low moderate income. So we can easily bring you back an inventory of here's how many. I want to say there's a dozen maybe throughout the city. Yes. Moderate has been for a owner occupied is really probably the only issue. If your moderate rent today is probably the same as market, so anybody that's renting as moderate is probably satisfying their requirements. And again, low income, and that's why we're here for before you tonight is just to address this issue.
Okay.
Do you want to not exercise the option to purchase, which then would allow them to go ahead and sell this at fair market value?
Right. Okay, and we didn't really give you an opportunity to do a staff report, so is there anything else from staff that you'd like to report on?
Thank you for that.
Okay.
That helps, I'm sure, with the background of how we got here. So
going back to agendizing at a later date, I think it would be helpful to have that report come back at a later date because we're talking about housing, we're talking about possibly looking at grants to help people purchase housing and or repair rental property. So I think that it would be helpful to have a more complete picture, and still, if we could have council give us the confidential report on this particular, what happens when there's a breach.
Yes, we will. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So back to the topic. Are we any further discussion on that or questions on that from the council? No. Then we would need a motion on that one. In fact,
are we going to do both of them?
Yeah, we can do them both, provided. Yeah, I think we can do them both. Yeah, we can have a no if we.
I'll
need
make a motion to approve the consent agenda, items 3 and 4.
I'll second that.
And could we have a roll call, please?
Yes.
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 Yes. So we're moving now to regular business, and we're going to go to number 9. Thank you. And let me find that one here. Number 9 was a status report regarding receipt of letters of interest for appointment to the City Council. It looks like Acting City Manager Copsey is going to present that one.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Madam Mayor, and members of the Council. Last council meeting on February 4th, the City Council decided to accept letters of interest from registered voters of Grover Beach for the vacant council seat that was left vacant by Councilmember Ms. Molnar. The council chose at that time to set the final date and time of February 19th at close of business to receive those letters. So at this point, council
Thanks.
The council also chose to agendize the item at the special council meeting to be held on February 25th. The council chose to consider the letters submitted, conduct interviews of the candidates, and if a majority consensus is reached, make the appointment by motion on the February 25th meeting. The following people have submitted interest letters for consideration, and there's 13 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're listed by alphabetical order only. So Greg Alex, Ronald Arnoldson, DDS, Gary Clatterbuck.
Okay, I can't write this fast.
We're going to get copies.
We will eventually. You will get copies with the interest letters and Thursday for the agenda for next week. But we can get you a copy of the names.
Okay.
After the meeting tonight.
Thank you.
I guess. So you don't have to write them all down that fast.
Okay.
The fourth one is Deborah Colbert, Jack Keane, Evan Larson, Christopher Long, Glenn Marshall, Robert Myers, Miriam Shaw, Anita Schauer, Riley Royce Smith, and Kevin Woolley. So at this point, the council could move forward with the previous decision that you made on February 4th to interview all 13 candidates at the February 25th meeting and make the appointment. Due to the large number of candidates, the council could also elect to establish a subcommittee of two council members to review the candidates and make a recommendation of the top few or top three or five or whatever you choose to interview those candidates at the special meeting. The council could collectively select a candidate from the list to the vacant council seat. Council could still choose to go for a special election. There's many options, and so at this point, staff will take direction from the council.
Thank you, and thank you to the public. That's great. It's wonderful to have that many. That's really good news for us, and we appreciate everyone's participation. And what I would say for future, if you don't make it this time, come back next time and keep coming to the meetings and letting us know what you think. We appreciate that. So are there questions? Any questions of staff?
I do have just one question. You'd mentioned a subcommittee. If we did decide to go in that direction, would you need recommendations from that subcommittee before the agenda comes out on Thursday?
No, that's up to the council. Council can choose that or not. That was just an idea because there's so many. I know Santa Maria, for example, tonight is hearing, I think it's 14 interviews during their council session. So. And if you so choose, you can listen to all 13 of them, and then
do with that as well. I mean, I trust the judgment of my fellow council people. I'm so pleased with the list that we have here. I'm just happy as a clam that we have so many. I could go either way. I would trust if we had a subcommittee. Even if I wasn't part of it, I would be happy with that. Or if we want to interview them all, I would do that as well. So I'm good either way.
Thank you.
We have some excellent candidates on this list, I think, and so I don't think we can go wrong.
And I agree. I think I could be supportive of going in either direction as well. I think interviewing them would give the members of the public an ability to see who might be their next representative. One more of a logistical question than anything, if we're going to do these interviews next Monday night, obviously we've got the Five Cities Fire Authority presentation as well. Do we know how long that presentation is going to be just from a timing standpoint?
Not specifically, I don't. Bill, maybe you knew exactly, get an estimate. Maybe
presentation by the consultants probably take 30 to 40 minutes would be my guess, and if they're, depending on how many questions come out of the report, could last longer, but that would be my guess. We've already had the presentation before the authority.
I'm supposed to be having a granddaughter that day.
Maybe you shouldn't be on a committee.
Better be here.
So, Councilmember Nichols, did you have anything to say?
I would recommend that we have a subcommittee and narrow it down to, my suggestion would be the top three candidates and then the whole entire council meet to select the one out of the top, the selectee out of the top three. That would be my recommendation.
All right. And let me ask, will the applications be public knowledge? Will those go out with the agenda packets?
Once the city clerk was able to get all of the letters put together, Those letters of interest mm-hmm. with the specific names and addresses, and it will all be in the Thursday package for next week for the council.
So the public would have a chance to weigh in. They could email us, write to us, come to the meeting and speak at public comment.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. You know, my first reaction is let's keep it simple. Let's get a committee. Let's narrow it down. I also trust my fellow council members. And then I start thinking, well, hold on a minute. We didn't have an election because it's too expensive. And really, in a perfect world, in my opinion, an election's the best thing because we really want to hear from all of the public. So if that's what we really want to do, okay, we're maybe going to be here for a little while on next Monday night, maybe a little longer than we'd like to. It's an extra meeting. But I'm thinking if we really, really want it to be open to the public, then perhaps we didn't go for the election. We didn't spend that money. Maybe we need to spend a little more of our own time and really give the public a chance to see who's out there and see how we make our decisions and weigh in on that. So, obviously it's there are four of us and it's open to a vote, and I'll go along with whatever everybody else wants to do on that. But
the only problem I have with that, if I may, if we go that direction, are you suggesting that if each candidate ends up with 10 people in public that speak on behalf of them and say that's who I think you ought to select, and one of the candidates has 20 people show up, does that mean that you're suggesting that the council then is going to have to select that person?
No.
Because that's what the public wants?
No.
My opinion is that I think we are much better qualified to make that selection, and I don't really see the purpose of the opening it up to the public for their comments. I'm not sure what that would accomplish.
Well, I think ultimately, in response to that, yes, ultimately we will be making our decisions. And no, just like with any other case, just because 20 people come to the council meeting to support or not to support something, we don't necessarily make our decisions based on those 20 people. We make them on a whole lot of different variables. And so I'm not saying that we're going to have some kind of vote out there, but I'm just saying that I would like it to be as open as possible and as participative as possible. And if it takes us all a little more time and causes a few more headaches, then, well, that's democracy. It's a pain sometimes. Mr. Lee.
I guess, again, going back to, I'd be supportive of a committee, but then I got to thinking.
I think that's a good idea. I think I hadn't thought of it that way, but either staff puts in a lot of time up front, and the committee puts in a lot of time up front, and the candidates put in a lot of time up front, or we just come together on the night and decide what we're going to do. So I...
Madam Mayor,
yeah.
It might be a little easier. Mm-hmm. Actually, the receive and file, the decision was already made. This is not a necessary decision item. If you want to change how it's been going to be done, probably should be made, provide direction to staff to bring back potential items to that you might want to change to next council meeting at the special meeting. So if you want to change the procedures on how this is done.
I'm really correct. Confused by that. I don't see that. I thought that was what we were doing tonight.
No, Mayor, this is a receive and file. So probably the best way to handle it, we don't want to create a committee and say, okay, this person is appointed, this person is appointed. The best way to handle it would be to direct staff to come back with a procedure on how you are going to do the selection. Then when you have your next meeting, it'll be streamlined. The public knows what they need to do, what they anticipate, and then you'll have the interviews, however you want to do it, at the meeting after that.
Okay, so the 25th will not be the meeting at which we make our decision. The 25th will be what then? What did we agendize?
That is if you want to change what... I think what you agendize is what I had mentioned at the last council meeting. You had decided to receive letters and do the interviews on those... applicants on those letters on the 25th and make the appointment on the 25th. If
that's
there's a change from that,
right.
Say because,
okay.
Because
okay.
We received so
right.
many.
Right. So if we want to change it, we would have to extend it out a bit.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. So
I think that sets it, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, then we need a motion.
Yes. And I really do think that I like the idea of it just everybody gets to hear the letter. They get to
they get to hear the applicant's presentation of themselves. And I just think that's how it should be. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good idea. So I'm going to make that motion.
And before you do that, we are free to make some procedural decisions this evening, though. So if we're going to go with it as we had originally planned, then we would be able to say tonight, well, we'd like to limit people speaking in support to 1 minute.
Or I think you can do that on Monday night. I think what staff would, obviously, is receive and file. You don't need a motion for anything. Mm-hmm. I think what staff would appreciate is if there is going to be, if you're going to ask for assistance for questions, maybe you can ask staff to maybe put together a few questions if you want. Mm-hmm. Give us some guidelines as far as maybe what timeline, time you want for each candidate. For example, Santa Maria's council tonight, they're giving each candidate 5 minutes to present something or answer questions. Mm-hmm. So it's not extremely lengthy. It would be just over an hour for our procedures if each candidate stuck to their 5 minutes. Things like that, I think, if you wanted direction and wanted some assistance from staff regarding some of the questions, we can put that together during the week if the council so chooses.
I think that the more that we can give people up front as to how the process is going to work in terms of, you know, you'll be able to speak for X amount of time and you'll find out what the questions are on when the agenda comes out. You can pull it from the website. I think, you know, that public comment will be condensed a little bit in the interests of time, probably. It won't be the 3 minutes usually. But so I think the more guidance we can give them, the better. But how does everyone else feel about that?
That would make sense to me. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I guess that's direction. And then do we need – maybe we don't need a motion. Excuse me.
No.
Okay. Everybody got consensus. Thank you. Okay, so moving back then to our regular
item
business,
five.
We are going to go to item number 5, which is consideration of standardizing the process of weed abatement and the procedures for the sale of safe and sane fireworks within the Five Cities Fire Authority jurisdictional boundaries. And Fire Chief Aranaz is going to cover this for us.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and Council. Before you tonight is, as you said, the standardization of the process for weed abatement within the jurisdictional boundaries of the Five Cities Fire Authority, and also the standardization of the sales of safe and sane fireworks. As you know, the authority was put together in order to streamline and make greater efficiencies for fire protection services throughout the authority. One thing that has stayed the same that is not very efficient is how we handle weed abatement and the sale of safe and sane fireworks. Each entity was responsible for these two issues prior to the formation of the authority.
And we have continued to mind if each entity compromise a little bit on their processes, so we'd have one set of dates to adhere to for both the sale of safe and sane fireworks and the abatement of weeds. What we're asking of you tonight is to have your council work with the Council of the Five Cities Fire Authority, and so your ordinance would virtually mirror the ordinance that would be adopted by the Five Cities Fire Authority. And we would, by doing that, we would have one set of dates that we could use for abatement of weeds and the sale of safe and sane fireworks. You have a matrix on the back of your report for weed abatement and for fireworks. You can see where things have changed a little bit. You can see where things have stayed the same for your authority. We have presented this to the cities of AG and to the Oceano Community Services District. They were in favor of it, so we will be working with their legal counsels. Hopefully you will see the wisdom of this also, and we can move forward with this. This will not be effective this year because it's a change of your ordinance. There is a 30-day waiting period. We won't have this in place for either weed abatement or fireworks this year. This would be effective in the year 2014. So everything this year would stay the same for Grover Beach. It wouldn't change until next year. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer those for you.
Any questions from Mr. Nichols?
No. Good report.
Mr.
Thank
Lee?
You. Thank you.
I had two quick questions. One of the, and it's more of a probably a procedural thing, in the your attachment number two, there's a reference in our own ordinance about the Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce having first right of refusal. I'm assuming that name would get changed and updated to the combined AG Grover Beach, or how would that? Because you have in your proposal, you've got no change from current regulations.
Correct. And as far as the nonprofit organizations that staff the booths, the authority has no wish to get into that arena at all. That will be decided by this council, who you want to staff your booths or apply to staff those booths. We'll leave that strictly up to you. So you're right. In your ordinance now, you have the Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce as one of the first rights of refusal. That organization has merged with the Arroyo Grande Chamber. So that's going to take a change on your part, and we would have council address that also.
Council member or Mayor Pro Tem Bright, did you have questions?
No.
Okay. So I had one question. I watched the Oceano Community Services District meeting on TV, and I'm sure you're hoping ours will be much shorter as far as you're concerned. Yeah. And I wanted to ask, but I didn't see all of it. I'm wondering, did they make a decision last night?
Their decision was to move forward and have council work with the authority to draft an ordinance that is acceptable to OCSD. There was one board member that was in favor of not changing when fireworks can be set off. So I'll have to work with council to make sure we have something that is acceptable to all three entities.
Okay.
And well, I'll leave it at that. We'll work towards okay. that and see what we can come up with.
So you've got your work cut out for you. Okay. And, you know, this is a little bit off task here, but it's not off agenda. I wanted to, this is something I'd normally say in council member comments, but because you're here and there's so many here, I'm hoping I can find it.
I have the names.
Oh, you have the names. Thank you. We have a former grand jury member and a former Parks and Rec member, Sue Hartman, who called me today and asked me if I would please say thank you to you and to the department. She's been ill for a number of months, and you guys have been incredible.
No.
Just amazing, and we're so thankful for that. And she wanted me to say that, and I said, don't bother writing a letter. I know your right hand's not working. I will say it for you. And I believe that Karen has the names of the firefighters
yes.
involved.
Just the first names, but she really wanted to thank Bart, Paul, and Cameron because they have been so incredibly kind and considerate of her and her family. So thank you very much.
There was another one. There were four.
There was? She only gave
yes.
me the three?
She couldn't remember them all.
Oh.
Let's see. I want to get them all in. Oh, I don't have them.
Code and related actions to reflect the processes established by the Five Cities Fire Authority.
I'll second that.
And this one is a voice vote, so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that's unanimous. And item number six, thank you very much, Chief.
Thank you.
Item number six is discussion and direction to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District representative, which would be me, regarding potential increase of board members and alternating location of district meetings. And Police Chief Acting City Manager Copsey was going to report a bit on that one.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the council. Again, at the last council meeting, the council directed this item to be brought before the council and agendized for review and discussion. In order to facilitate the council's discussion, I put together some of the items that are directly related to this possible support for this and discussion on this. Mayor Peterson, as you know, is the representative for the city as a director for the sanitation district. She shared information that the board is requesting each participating jurisdiction consider if it would be willing to support the addition of two board directors to be appointed to the South County Sanitation District, and whether that, in addition, whether that location for the district meetings should rotate around its member jurisdictions instead of being held singly in Oceano. So there are three things that govern or that apply to the appointment of board of directors to the district. One of them being the current MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding between the city and the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. The second being the California Health and Safety Code, Section 4730, which dictates that the Sanitation District Board be comprised of the three members from the participating agencies. And lastly, the third would be the agreement that originally was formed in 1963, and then the operation agreement, which was amended in 1991 when we came on board as Grover Beach, which actually establishes the board of directors as being in the participating agencies. So at this point, the following alternatives that are presented for council for consideration support the potential addition of two directors to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board. It should be noted that at this time, who those directors are still is yet to be determined, whether it's somebody from Grover Beach or Oceano, members of the public, or the Board of Supervisors, and how that might impact the decision to add those members. Support the potential rotation of the South County District Sanitation District to other jurisdictional areas for the meetings. Do not provide support for the additional of directors or provide additional direction to your representative for the district. And I'll be happy to answer questions if the representative, Mayor Peterson, doesn't have those answers.
Thank you. And it's been something that's been up for discussion with the district, I guess, for quite some time. And what they really wanted was not so much would you support it, because they haven't made a decision. What they wanted was input from the three cities as to whether those things are important to you. And if they're important to you, then they're willing to talk about them. And if they don't matter, then they'll probably still talk about them, but they're not going to be worried about what you think. So, and I appreciate this information. It's helpful to have the background there. And just a little background as to why they were looking at it. As far as adding a couple of directors, it's really cumbersome. Well, it's not cumbersome. It's very hard to work with just three directors because of the Brown Act, we really have very little opportunity to talk with one another. And a lot of times it's helpful to be able to talk with another council member just to kind of get a better understanding or a feel for whether you're being reasonable a lot sometimes. So the other thing is that, of course, with only a three-member board, what happens is you have less expertise to pull from. And so some of the thought was that it might also be helpful to bring folks on board who perhaps a wastewater engineer, perhaps a CPA, but people who could help the board be better board. Okay. So that was what that one was about. And as far as where council or as far as where the district meetings are, you know, it's been very convenient to hold them in the same place. It's easy for people. They don't forget where it is. It's hard enough to sometimes remember the day and the time. If you have to remember which town it's in, that gets confusing. But they wanted to open it out so that if the public wanted to have sanitation board districts meetings in their own towns to possibly make it more accessible, then they wanted to see what the public thought. And they did, at their last meeting, open that to public comment and take comments from the public. And so they just wanted to spread that out a little bit and hear from folks here, too. So if you have any questions, the chief and I will try to field them. Any questions?
I have a question regarding that issue. How
discussion or if that would make any assistance. It would almost be like technical staff.
No, there wasn't. That wasn't part of the discussion, but that's an interesting question that I'll take back to them.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. I'm going to open this to the public in case anybody out there wants to weigh in and let us know what they think.
Yeah, Yeah, good evening. My name is Brad Snook. I'm the chair of our county's chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. Thank you for agendizing this item. Thank you for the concern regarding the sanitation district. First of all, regarding the general state of the sanitation district, I think the different council members or the representatives on the board most rely on staff to make good recommendations. So during the meeting, they want to make sure that what they're doing is both legal and also makes sense from the perspective of the people, from the citizens' perspective. So I think first and foremost, the representatives for the sanitation district should be aiming at good staff support. And part of the issue over the last couple of years with the sanitation district is I think the representatives don't feel like they're getting good support. A lot of people in the public don't feel that the legal advice that they're getting is adequate to meet the needs of the citizens in this district. And also, some of the engineering and administrative advice is not good because the people that are filling that role are also making money at the plant, aside from the regular engineering and administrative duties. So people are always weighing whether that conflict is playing a role in the decisions of the sanitation district. So my feeling and the feeling of our chapter is that the board should focus on getting the staff problems resolved first, and then look at whether expanding the board is a good idea. There in the Oceano building, signage is an issue. We had a gentleman come to make public comment for the first time, and he walked around that building three or four times before he figured out which door to go into. So put up a big old sign, you know, make it more permanent so that people can see it. Maybe put something out on the street or on the Oceano CSD sign that says, you know, also, you know, home of, you know, sanitation district. Make it a bigger deal there in Oceano. I think we have a lot of public opinion that comes out of Oceano. People will sit through meetings. We want to make it more welcoming for the people from Grover Beach and AG also. So those are my recommendations, and thank you again for agendizing this.
Well, thanks for the helpful feedback. I'll take all that back. Is there anybody else who'd like to step forward from the public and make a comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll close it to public comment. And just wonder if any of the board members have any suggestions. Bill, you served there for years. You must have some.
Yeah, I would like to make one correction. Mr. Snook just commented that they're eliminate a conflict with the administrator. I would like to remind people that the grand jury did an investigation of the sanitation district and decided that there was no conflict of interest. They said in their final report that there is a perception of a conflict, but they did not find a conflict of interest. I wanted to clear that up. As to the location of the meeting, I served on that board for approximately 5 years, and I'll bet you in the 5 years that I was there, there probably were not 20 people over the five-year period that attended any of those board meetings. There are not very many people that I know of in all three communities that have a great deal of interest in how the sewage plant operates. They really don't. We've had open houses. We've had a very limited number of people that come over and go through the plant. That plant has operated for 28 years, and it's been under the supervision of the current administrator, and they have had one spill in 28 years. And I do not believe, based on my research, that there is any other plant in the state of California that has operated that long with only one spill. So I get a little excited about some of the comments that are made with reference to that plan. As to the number of members on the board, that's $200 a month. per member, that's $400 a month. For two new board members, that's $4,800 a year. We are concerned about economics right now, and I just can't see. There does not appear to be any need, based on my experience, for adding two directors, and we certainly, in my opinion, without increasing the rates, don't have the money to pay for two additional board members.
Thank you. Is there any other council members that want to weigh in?
First, with regards to the location, I think obviously the OCSD is a good location, very close to the plant if there's plant operators need to come over and so forth. But again, I don't have a strong passion about moving it around to the various locations, but I'd be willing to go along with that if there was a consensus on that. But keeping it at the OCSD is probably fine. Mr. Snook said with regards to staffing, if there is a perceived staffing issue, then perhaps that should get resolved first, notwithstanding what Councilmember Nichols said with regards to the perception of conflict, not the actual conflict. But I don't have a strong feeling one way or the other. If it's operating with three, it can operate just as well with five. And obviously there can be we can figure out a way to pay for that, or the district can figure out a way to pay for that if there's a benefit to the community at large for that. So again, don't have a passion either way, but I'm willing to consider it.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Well, I have for a long time thought that there should be some sort of a like a community member at large, or that's someone that from the community that is on that board, and it might be someone from a local community organization who has an interest in the sewage plant or the cleanliness of the water or whatever it is, but. So I've often thought that I think that would be a natural fit for someone, and particularly if there is a perception of whatever the perception may be, a negative perception, then you have somebody who has been put there by the community, who kind of has an eye out for the community. So I think that could negate a lot of the negativity that might otherwise be there. So that's just my thought.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, everyone, for your comments. And I've made note of them, and I will take them with me. And we won't address conflict of interest because that's not on the agenda tonight. So we'll move on then to the next item, which is on the agenda, and that is going to be the mid-year budget review for fiscal year 13, and our Administrative Services Director Chapman will be giving us that report. Sorry, it's taking a minute.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, Gayla Chapman, Administrative Services Director. As you stated, I'm here to present our fiscal year 13 mid-year review. For our general fund, during fiscal year 13 budget process, several actions were taken by the council to prevent deficit spending. Among those included the employee reductions or concessions, a decrease in contributions to the Five Cities Fire Authority through concessions that were taken by the employees at the Fire Authority, and also we sold a piece of surplus property that the city owned. And with that, the fiscal year 13 budget is balanced due to those actions. For the general fund, we are anticipating the revenues to be higher due to one-time revenues for this fiscal year. We had $182,540 received in a redistribution of property taxes, and that was due to the dissolution of the redevelopment agency, and those were the housing funds from the redevelopment agency. Our sales and use taxes are up slightly, and our transient occupancy tax is also up slightly. Chart one in your attached staff report is an analysis of the city's revenue sources, just for your information. This leaves us with a net increase in revenue of $141,000 for salary and benefits due to retirement. The payout to the retiree was slightly higher than what was anticipated, and therefore we need $12,500 for the police department. As we said, stated earlier, the budget is balanced in part due to employee concessions. Concessions amounted to a savings of $133,000 in the general fund, and the city agreed to a reopener for potential of reducing those employee concessions, and we are currently meeting with one employee group and will be meeting soon with another. Our outlook for fiscal year 14 is that the revenues and expenditures are expected to remain stable. Property taxes are expected to remain flat. Sales taxes, as I stated earlier, are trending slightly higher, and we expect that trend to continue into fiscal year 14. Expenditure increases will be fully discussed and at a staff level and will be kept at a minimum to only what is necessary. For our Water Enterprise Fund, which is responsible for the upkeep of water infrastructure and costs associated with the delivery of water to the customers of the Enterprise Fund, this includes the city's share of operating and maintenance costs for Lopez Lake and the repair and maintenance of city-owned water lines and mains. Currently, we are meeting our minimum reserve requirement of 10%. Our cash reserves are expected to be $374,725 at fiscal year end. Our water revenues are anticipated to decline slightly by $9,112, and our other revenues are expected to decline by approximately $34,000. We have frontage footage fees, account setup fees, and late fees, which are all declining so far for this fiscal year. These declines are based on the first 6 months of the fiscal year to date. Our expenditures are also expected to be lower in our Water Enterprise Fund. We received a credit memo from the operation of the Lopez Treatment Plant for fiscal year 12 in the amount of $74,000. Our capital expenditures increased above what was budgeted related to the City Hall renovation project, and that includes the utility billing staff area. Our Proposition 218 hearing from 2012 allows for an increase based on CPI for Los Angeles Riverside County, which was 2% for the year ending December 31st, 2012. We also have reasons for possibly needing a new Proposition 218 hearing. Currently, we do not have sufficient cash to complete all $475,000 in capital improvements, which are planned in fiscal year 14 in the capital improvement plan. As I stated, we're expecting to have $374,000 ending in our cash balance for this fiscal year, and most of that would be needed to keep our minimum reserve requirement. The projects include a looped main to correct water flow and pressure issues west of Highway 1. That is at $175,000. We also have a replacement of 2-inch and 4-inch water mains throughout the city that is planned for $300,000 per year for at least the next 5 years. If we were to decrease the loop main, or delay the loop main, I'm sorry, for 1 year, there would be no side effects from that project. I spoke with the Public Works Director, and we anticipate that it will not be needed probably for the next year, and then the amendment to the 2-inch and 4-inch water main upgrades could be made to $150,000 a year. This will double the time that's required to replace the deficient mains, or maybe even take it out to about 12 years to replace all of those water mains if inflation were to kick in. Our stormwater enterprise has been included in the wastewater enterprise fund. We are requesting the 2% increase on CPI to cover the costs for the water wastewater enterprise fund, for the stormwater fee, if you choose to move forward with passing the resolution for the increases based on CPI. Currently, we have no reserve for stormwater. Additional consulting services for the stormwater annual permit are estimated to be $45,000 to $60,000, and currently that is an unbudgeted item. We will be bringing that before the council when we have a more accurate cost for that item. Our gas tax fund revenues are being received a little lower than projected. At this point, that's not going to be a detriment to the fund. The development impact fees, water conservation, and parks construction fund revenues are all anticipated to be lower than budgeted due to Green Park not going online as early as anticipated. Resolution amending the annual appropriation resolution to fund the budget amendments, and city staff would like to see the water rate, the master fee schedule for water rates and stormwater rates based on the CPI to be amended and to move forward. And also we would like to see if council would provide staff direction with regard to doing a new 218 hearing in order to fund all of the anticipated water projects.
And do you have any questions? Thank you very much. That was a good report, and I did want to say thank you for giving us really clear explanations of any deviations from what we had originally budgeted. And also, I think it's in order to say thank you to the employees and the Five Cities Fire Authority and the Police Department for their contribution to helping us balance the books. So, questions from, looks like Mayor Pro Tem Bright has a question.
I have several. Thank you. So then, first of all, I guess I'm just going to start right here. I don't know how sequential they're going to be, but I'm just going to kind of go all over the place here. So let's just start with the water projects, the projects in the for the water fund. So are these part of the these improvement projects? Are they part of the 1.5 million CDBG?
One of them is, Greg. He has more information.
Thank you.
Okay, I got an honorable mayor. Oh, small. There we go. The CDBG application or anticipated application would include 1.5 million in replacement of 2- and 4-inch water mains. So a component of what Administrative Director Chapman just talked about is in that proposed application.
So 300,000 for the replacement of the 2-inch and the 4-inch water mains throughout the city.
That would cover that project if we were successful.
If we were successful, okay. And then it says water main replacements are planned to continue at 300,000 per year for a minimum of 5 years.
That would be the 1.5 million.
Okay. So then we're talking 175 to construct a looped water main, and then the remainder of those CIPs that we're talking about. So really,
and that's just in the foreseeable future. There are also projects which the Public Works Director has planned that need to be upgraded.
Okay, and that's my next question. So what are the capital expenditures for the next 5 years other than what we have here? Do you know offhand?
Proposed capital improvement expenditures for the water fund in particular?
Mm-hmm.
At this point, we're tackling, or my recommendation in the CIP is to tackle the first priority waterline improvement projects, which is really just replacement of existing 2- and 4-inch water mains.
Okay, that's already here, though.
And that's $300,000 a year. So that takes you 5 years out.
Okay, so I'm talking about anything over and above that
beyond
you know
5
of.
Years or beyond that in the next, during this 5 years?
During this next 5 years, over and above the expenditures that we have
that has been mentioned in this staff report?
The remainder of expenditures are really in the operations budget, and those would be, you know, just general maintenance, operation, cost of Lopez water.
Okay, so we wouldn't have, we're not talking about any additional capital expenditures over and above, in the next 5 years, over and above what's in this staff report.
That's correct.
Okay. All right, okay. So, very good. Thank you. So I guess then my next question is, when we get to, so we have a structural deficit of 95,000 and change at the end of this year. So what is your forecast for our next year?
I've done the first pass at preliminary revenue estimates. I still need to do one more pass at revenue just to see where we are. I usually get a pretty good indication at the end of February as to revenue estimates, so therefore we do not have an initial right now. I am seeing that things are trending to where
on a percentage basis, or do you know how they come up with that figure? I don't. I'm just curious. It's not important.
The sales tax add-on is calculated differently than the standard sales tax because we will receive sales taxes for items that are purchased outside of the city, such as vehicles.
Yeah.
For people who live here, that does not happen with the standard 1% sales tax.
Yeah.
So they are calculated differently, but we do get the full 0.5% of the sales tax.
Okay. All right, thank you.
The state does not take any of that.
That's all I have right now.
Okay. Councilmember Lee?
Question for you. Councilmember Bright mentioned a structural deficit of about $95,000. So now, is that inclusive of the one-time revenues that we get this year? Or we'll have a slight surplus?
The one-time revenues will give us a surplus for this year,
for this
but
year.
They are one-time revenues.
Right.
And when you're budgeting, you look at your ongoing revenues versus your ongoing expenditures.
Okay. So in notwithstanding those, the redevelopment, closing and so forth, we would have a structural deficit, and but because of the one-time revenues, we have a slight...
It was the one-time revenues of the sale of the property, the employee concessions that allowed us to not have a deficit for this year.
Right. Okay.
But it is.
So, but that's
it. Overall, is a structural deficit.
Right. So, but that's your first projection for next year. Is if all being equal, we would have a deficit for next year that we're going to need to have to figure out how.
We're going to have to figure out how to take care of that.
Gotcha. Question for you on the special event allocation, realizing that there's a possibility that the foundation comes forward or someone else comes forward with monies for the concert series. What happens if that money comes forward? Is it just a benefit to the special fund?
It's a benefit to the special event fund.
Okay. And then last question is the water... And maybe I'm confused. The 2%, we have two options for the water and the stormwater. Either 2% CPI increase, or we move forward with a Prop 218 vote.
Or you could do both. You could implement the 2% immediately as of March 1st, or even April 1st, I think is the date, because that was last year's date. We did it on April 1st. Could move forward with the 2%. And also move forward with a 218 hearing for an additional increase, so that the capital projects could become fully funded.
Okay. So now, from a timing standpoint, obviously the CDGB applications are due mid-April for recommendation.
Right. We won't know for a while as to what will happen with those.
So what would the opportunity be, let's say we move forward with the 2% CPI now, and then say we were unsuccessful in getting those, then moving forward with the Prop 218, or is there a timing contingency?
We could do this Prop 218 at a later date. It's just if we want to move forward with funding, fully funding the CIP, we would need to move forward sooner than later.
Okay. And yet, in the report, Public Works Director Ray said we could delay some of those for a year.
We could delay the loop main for a year. And if we delayed the loop main and put the $300,000 for the 2- and 4-inch mains down to $150,000, we could get by with this year by just doing the 2% increase. But then we are delaying infrastructure improvements that have already been delayed.
And maybe this is a question for Mr. Ray. You said we could delay them a year. So what's the service life left on those water lines?
A good introduction.
They're beyond already.
Have to ask a
good question. Good.
Excellent question. Tough one. I don't like to be the guy to answer it. Expected service life on a steel water main is about 40 years. That's the average expected service life.
Did you say 40?
40. Most of those 2-inch and 4-inch water lines were installed with the original developments in the city of Grover Beach. So, you know, need to put a date on that, you can do the math.
Thank you. That's all very interesting. I had a couple of questions. On the chart number one, the informational charts, attachment three, oops, I'm losing my pieces of paper there. What are the POST reimbursements?
Chief?
I can enter those. That's Police Officers Standard of Training. That's our state POST training that we get reimbursement, and we're close to over 90% reimbursed for most of all of our training that we attend.
Okay, so then I guess what I was wondering is, so it's over $1 million.
It could be vehicle code fines, recreation rentals, sale of city property, lease agreements, use of city crew and equipment, CDBG administrative fee in prior years, but this year we did not have that, state-mandated cost reimbursements, nuclear power training reimbursements. There is a variety.
Thank you. That's nice. It's nice to have an extra $1 million kicking around. Okay. It's not extra, no. It's nice to have it. Nice to have the income. I'm going to open this to the public. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to come forward?
Good evening. I'm Anita Schauer, 867 North 6th Street. When the Green Park was mentioned on Farrell Road and the two permits were pulled or will be in the mix in 2014, is that Mr. Bischoff's piece of property?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the second thing, the 2-inch and 4-inch mains were dug and put in by Charles Bagwell under the direction of his father, Horace, because Horace wanted Charles to always be busy in the summer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, tell us what year that was.
Exactly.
Pardon?
Can you tell us what year that was?
It's in my book.
By the book.
Yeah, I believe it was in the 50s, early 50s.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we can do the math. That's 65 years, roughly. 68 years.
Early 50s?
Early 50s. 50 well. To...
That'd be 50-some-odd years, wouldn't it? 50.
Long time.
It's way longer than we would like. Okay. It's a big number.
It depends on when it was in the 50s, I suppose.
So are there any discussion among the council members? Oh, wait.
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't close public. Anybody else from the public? No. Okay. Bring it back to the council. Any discussion among the council members?
Actually, you know, I have another question.
Okay. You reserved
I'm
it.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Regarding the increases that we're talking about, when was the last time, didn't we do an increase to the water fund and the wastewater last year?
We did an increase to the water rates last year. They went into effect April 1st, 2012. We also created the stormwater fee last year. That was the first year in which we've collected
okay.
a fee, and that's been collected since April 1st, 2012.
Okay, so if we were to increase the wastewater fee by the CPI, it would add 18 cents.
The stormwater fee, correct.
So the wastewater enterprise fund, which would be the stormwater program. And that would help to,
It would give minimal funding.
The stormwater program, which is an unfunded state mandate. So it's something that has to be done, and we don't have any, any kind of a funding mechanism for that, correct?
Other than this fee, correct.
Other than this fee, okay. So, and that would be basically a total of $1.08 per year.
$108. Oh, you mean for the increase? Yes, $1.08 per year for the increase.
Per customer.
Per customer.
Okay. Okay, so then when we look at the water, I just want to make sure that people understand what we're talking about here. So, all right. So then when we look at the water rate increase, we're talking about a 2% CPI increase. I saw that here somewhere, and now I can't find it. Yeah, it did say how much it was going to be, didn't it? I think it was on a chart, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a chart on...
6 and 7. 6 is the water.
Yeah, the residential rates for the first 12 units would go from $3.20 to $3.26. The next 8 units would go from $3.37 to $3.44. The next 22 units would go from $3.87 to $3.95. And anything over 42 units would go from $4.38 to $4.47 per unit.
Okay.
Is that at the 2% or the 10% rate?
That's at the 2%.
That's at the
2%. Okay. That's 2%. So, because I know, I mean, I got my water bill today, and my water bill is like $103. So we're talking a 2% increase, but not on the total bill itself.
It's just on the water rates.
Just on the water rates. So,
and there's no increase planned for the wastewater rates.
Okay.
Only for the stormwater fee.
Yeah.
We have not had, knock on wood, we have not had an increase in the wastewater rates in over 10 years. Up and down based on how individuals pay their property taxes.
And the advantage is that we get some of the fines.
We get all of the fines.
Ooh. Okay.
For our proportional share, we get the fines.
Okay.
So from an overall standpoint, it sounds like we're probably benefiting.
Overall, once people finally do pay, yes, we should be benefiting.
Okay, just a matter of timing.
It's all cash flow.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I think we've already gone out to public comment on this one, so we're now at the discussion stage. So, what do you guys think? Bill, you've been awfully quiet over there.
I'm in favor of approving the amendment, or the resolution, rather, and for the annual appropriation to change the budget as recommended. And I'm also in favor of authorizing Prop 218 hearing. I think we have held the line for a long time. the city has done very well. I think city management has done very well, budget-wise. But everything else in this state... is going up, and we have not had some significant increases lately. I think in order to keep this community in the condition that we want to keep it in, we've got to have the money to do it, and that's, to me, the only way we're going to get it. I don't think the 2% increase is adequate. We've got to start improving on our infrastructure, or we're going to have a lot of problems, and if you don't keep up with it, it costs you more in the long run. So I think we need to get on top of it. Let's have an increase now. Explain to the people that this has to be done to keep this city the way they want to keep it. We've got a lot of other problems that we're going to have to take care of in the future. And I think living with this increase in a 218 hearing for an increase is, to me, the smart way to go. And that's what I would recommend.
Mr. Lee?
Good.
Yeah. Oh, you're, that's fine.
Okay. Well, I have to say I don't agree with that. I'm sorry to say. I would authorize an amendment to the annual appropriation to fund the budget, and I would go along with the 2% CPI increase. But I'd really like to see where we go with the CDBG grant. I mean, it's going to be announced in June. I think we can only ask for so much from people. I mean, I understand that we do need to keep our infrastructure up, but we just can't bleed people dry. So I would really like to see where we go with that grant. And, you know, we might get lucky. It's what the state's objective is for delivering potable water. So that would be my recommendation at this point in time.
Councilmember Lee?
Definitely in support of the appropriations. I'm struggling with the water and the wastewater, or the stormwater, 2% versus 10%. And I agree with Bill from the standpoint of we need to do the infrastructure improvements, and yet that is a big chunk to chew. So I would, from that perspective, I guess I would second Bill's motion, which I think is still on the table from that perspective, and we'll see where it goes.
I don't think there's been a motion. I think it was just...
No.
Oh, he didn't. Oh, I'm sorry.
It was an opinion.
Opinion. Okay, then I apologize.
But it could become a motion quickly, and then okay. you can second it. So my feedback on that is that yes, we're a little early for committee reports, but we will definitely be coming to people for probably a significant wastewater increase, because it's true that we may have to completely rebuild a sewer plant in the near future, and there, as we haven't had any increases there for a number of years, so there will probably be a significant increase on the from the sewer district. And we know that the Five Cities Fire Authority is coming to us for an increase, and reasonably, I believe, on Monday the 25th of February. And we know that we will need to do something to get some funds to fix our residential streets if people are willing to pay for that. So I think we're going to have a lot of expenses coming our way, and if there's a possibility that we can get some grant income for this particular one, we know we can't get it for local streets, then I'm inclined to say to hold the line right now and say let's go with the 2% and wait and see what happens in June. So I will entertain a motion, unless there's more. Could we have a roll call, please?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
No. So now we have an interesting dilemma.
That's why we need five.
Yeah, that's why we need five. So because it's a 2-2 vote, there's no action. Would someone like to make an alternative motion?
Well, I'll make a motion then that... Well, no, there is no. I don't think there is an alternate motion, is there?
2%.
2%. We haven't done that then. No. Okay.
No.
Yes. That. Yes. Thank you. I'll make a motion that that we increase. Or is that what it's going to be? An increase? How do I even say this?
It's the first alternative here.
Authorize an amendment to the.
No. Second part of it. Number two.
Authorize an amendment to the master fee schedule.
Correct.
By the CPI of 2%. Right?
Yes.
Thank you. So that's my motion.
I could second it, but it's better if you're willing.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and second that with a comment that if the citizens of Grover Beach had approved the charter last time, we would hopefully we would be removing ourselves from the stormwater unfunded mandates. So I'll just throw that out there as well, just to see where that goes in the upcoming months as well.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Could we have roll call, please?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, so motion carried will increase the water by 2%. And so the next item
is... Thank you, Council.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is City Hall Parking Lot Improvements Amendment to the Annual Appropriation Resolution Number 1260, and that will be Public Works Director City Engineer Ray.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council. Let me buy a moment here and put some items on the overhead.
So just for a little background, this is something that came to us about a month ago, and the council felt that we needed to get the parking lot in order before we did anything else. And so we asked Director Ray to take a look at that and see what he could come up with for us, with the hoping that we could do more than just the parking lot.
So at a previous city council meeting on January 14th, I brought a staff report forward to council with basically a request for a budget adjustment. And the rationale for that request was that we had, based on a previously approved budget, we had completed the City Hall front counter project. And as a result, what used to be the main entrance to City Hall, down on the far end of the hall down there, it was now become an employee entrance, and the new main entrance is just outside the rear doors here. That created some other functional problems with the use of the City Hall site, and that primarily is that the south parking lot now really became the focal point of City Hall. And at that meeting, I presented council with a site plan similar to what you see on the overhead behind me, and brought up a fairly long and complicated list of possible improvements. And I received what I thought was really clear direction from council that, hey, we want to focus the limited funds we have on a thorough and complete repair and replacement of that parking lot. So the real thrust of tonight's request is a budget amendment to allow us to fully fund replacement of the asphalt pavement and sidewalk areas at the South City Hall parking lot. As you can tell, I'm simplifying the staff report quite a bit. You've had a lot before you this evening, and I want to really focus in on your direction. The proposed budget amendment can be funded from three sources, because the south parking lot and the counter here serve basically the water enterprise, the sewer enterprise, and the general fund services of the city at large. We've estimated that in a pattern, a traffic pattern through the parking lot. This will also allow for a walkway from 8th Street all the way to the front doors that would meet ADA requirements. Parking lot would be completely redone. The sidewalk around City Hall would be completely redone. And then, as you recall, there are some CDBG funds that can be used specifically for ADA upgrades. So this corner ramp down here could be improved with those CDBG funds. We believe the CDBG funds actually will pay for part of the sidewalk improvements here. And then the areas that are used to access the police department, which is shaded in here, and these areas in here, which access the new main entry, we believe could be funded with the available CDBG funds. So between the existing funding, the existing CDBG grant funding, and the proposed budget amendment, that is essentially the project. Some minor details included in that, you know, there'd be a new location for ADA parking, include a van accessible space, as well as a standard space next to it. And this here, as you see, would be the access aisle to the new walkway. A couple other minor things. It provides a what I'd call a fast access parking space for the police department. This would be dedicated for their use. And it does create a number of planting areas that could be partially planted with funds we already have. We have some water conservation funds that have already been budgeted in this year, fiscal year. And we can do some planting in this area here, right near the main entrance, the far end here. This area here that would be created on the corner. And this area right here near the main entrance, and then in here also. I might mention that the Five Cities Rotary of Five Cities, the Echo Group of Rotary, has offered and has already begun actually work on this area right next to the police department. So they'll be doing an installation there, and I think they're here tonight. So they're moving forward with that, which is great. Now, to confuse things just a little bit, there's a number of other things that are shown here and that are included in your staff report. And these are things we talked about last time. So the base request is this $64,000 request. Staff's recommendation is, you know, this is just doing the parking lot's great, and we understand your direction on that. We'd like to give you another opportunity to consider some of the other functional improvements that we feel would further enhance this relocation of the main entrance. I'm going to read through those really quickly, and then if you have any interest in discussing any one of those in more detail, we can go through that. And then I'll switch to the next slide on here, which is shows the budget amounts for each item and the costs associated with that. So the other things that could be done would be additional entry plaza improvements. That's additional work in this area right here near the new main entry. They would include a parking lot wayfinding sign, which is a fairly simple sign that could be located out here on the sidewalk area to just let you know that's police parking and City Hall main entrance parking. Some additional building signage itself. As you know, that right now it says City Hall out front on 8th Street, and then on the wall above the police department it says police department. So if you're in the south parking lot here, there's nothing on the building that tells you you're really at City Hall. And so in your staff report, you'll see one of the attachments, and I can show that if you're more interested in that. It just shows possibly we could change the lettering on this wall above the police department out here on the south parking lot, and it'd say, you know, City of Grover Beach and Police Department and City Hall. We had a public information kiosk proposed inside here that really didn't get much council support. Tree replacement. I'm working with an arborist, and I unfortunately haven't reached a final conclusion on this. I'd like to try to save the magnolia trees. They're beautiful trees. They're large. They're old. You know, I love the trees, so I'd love to try to save them. We could possibly maneuver the sidewalks around a little bit, do some root pruning. Rumor has it in the past that that has been discussed and that an arborist at one time said that you just kill the trees. My experience has been we'd probably kill the trees, but I really think the trees are old and prominent enough they deserve a thorough discussion. So I'll be meeting with an arborist on Friday to see if we can save those trees reasonably and not damage these brand new parking lot improvements as soon as 5 or 10 years down the road. If not, the trees would be coming out, and an option council could consider would be to replace them. And the recommendation was with Brisbane box trees, and they could be placed. And attachment 3. Not it. Let's see if I got this right. Ah, here we go. So hopefully you can read that behind me. And there's a copy in your staff report. It's attachment 6. And this is broken into two parts. The top spreadsheet there is the focal point of tonight's discussion. And that is, we want to complete the parking lot. We're looking for a budget amendment of approximately $64,000. And this shows budget remaining in each of the funds. General fund shows $11,900 remaining and a $15,900 request. Under CDBG funding, about $25,000 that we think we can use for this project, so we're not requesting any. It shows the $23,000 request for Water Enterprise and the $23,000 request for Sewer Enterprise. And then below that is the additional chart, which indicates our cost estimate for each of those other items that you may wish to reconsider tonight and have more discussion on, and the potential funding source for each. And again, I'll mention, if you see there, that under existing remaining budget, there is $5,000 for landscape and irrigation from the Water Conservation Fund already there. So, that said, I will move to the alternatives for consideration tonight. They are, one, adopt the attached resolution amending the annual appropriation resolution number 12-60 to allocate $64,000 of additional funding from various sources to CIP number 263, the City Hall Improvements Project, specifically for construction of the parking lot and sidewalk improvements. Another alternative to consider would be to approve additional project components and adopt a modified resolution indicating some additional funding for those as recommended in this spreadsheet before you. And a third alternative would be do not adopt the resolution and provide additional direction to staff. And tonight, the recommendation is that Council adopt the resolution amending the annual appropriation resolution number 12-60 to allocate $64,000 of additional funding from various sources to CIP number 263, the City Hall Improvements Project, for construction of the parking lot and sidewalk improvements only. And that does conclude my report, unless you have additional questions.
Thank you very much. This one was much easier to wrap my head around than the last one, and you've been really frugal, so thank you. Any questions from the council? Council Member Lee?
Sure. If you go back to your site plan for a second.
Absolutely.
Mr. Ray? Obviously, this is a little bit different than the last one. I think overall pretty similar, but it looks like the pay station number 9 stays where it currently is in this rather than putting it in the middle of the driveway.
There was quite a bit of discussion among staff as to the need for it to have driver's side drive-up access. Mm-hmm. Does that overweigh some of the safety concerns we had about it being located somewhere within the parking lot, likely to get backed into or run over? And overall, staff reached a consensus that we would actually relocate it slightly. It would be moved out to the front area on 8th Street in what is now a parkway or landscape area, and we would actually eliminate the window drop that's out there now for payments, and this would become prominent but wouldn't really work as a driver's side drive-up. You'd have to stop, hop out, drop your payment in, and then continue on your way.
I have to do that anyway because it's so high.
Yeah. No.
I have to get out anyway.
I'm always nervous to get close, so, you know.
And then with the driveway improvements, it looks like two trees would be coming out regardless.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, just want to make sure I read that correctly. And then one last question on the site plan is, it looks like there's more curb in this layout than there was in the previous one. The other layout, there was going to be a lot of just painting and striping. This actually looks like we'd be installing curb perimeters.
That's correct, and that was the direction I understood from council, was that we wanted to do the job completely in terms of the parking lot itself, not just stripe it out and have future removals we'd have to do. So yeah, we would actually be constructing these curbs around this area here. Hopefully you can see that behind me. That curb would go in
but you've got your cost estimate there for the parking lot but of about $100,000, and but your total request is $63,000.
That's correct.
Okay, and that's because of the CDGB funds?
Yeah, so if you look under each of these funding columns, general water, CDBG, general water conservation, CDBG, water enterprise, and sewer enterprise, you'll see that we have some funds remaining under each of those. So, you know, that exist now, so we don't need to request additional funding.
Great, thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright, did you have some questions?
Yes, please. Thank you. So back, I guess, to the site plan, please. I have a question regarding the tree replacement, and I'm not quite sure what you mean. This is in the middle of the, on page 3, when you're talking about replacing the trees, I guess those would be in front of the, like, in front of the police station and the bike rack, so those two number 8s. So in your text, it says, the two existing Brisbane box trees near the police station entry will need to be removed to provide an accessible pathway to City Hall main entrance and the police station entrance. Council may choose to have new trees planted at this time. Do you mean in that same...
No, we're okay. Not recommending replacing okay. those trees.
I didn't think so, but I wasn't quite sure if you were saying to okay, replacing them. Okay, very good. I think that was my question there. So then, to kind of carry on with Mr. Lee's question, so then when we're looking, now back to your spreadsheet, sorry, back and forth. So then when we're looking at the general fund, so basically the request then really from the general fund is you're asking for a little bit less than $4,000 additional. Because there's already have a budget of $11,960 for this project, and actually, you're requesting $15,000.
The budget request is for roughly $16,000 of additional general fund.
So additional $16,000.
Yes, and then roughly $24,000 of water enterprise fund.
I get it. Okay,
and
I'm on it now. That's a little. That was a little too good to be true. Okay, I get it now. All right, I guess those are my questions. Thank you.
Councilmember Nichols?
I have only one question. Good report. I like what you're doing. That parking lot right now is just an accident looking for a place to happen.
It is.
And I'm amazed that we haven't had any problems with it. Back to the diagram. Where you have the 16 feet across there. What is that spot going to be?
That is the dedicated police vehicle parking spot. They need a place where they can easily get in and out of quickly for one of their sergeant vehicles, I believe. And that was a request from the police department. That's how it's used now. And so.
Okay. I didn't see that explained any place. Good. Thank you. That's all I have.
And I had, I think, one or two questions. Right now, most of the parking in front of the police department is allocated to the police department, or so it says. I parked there once and moved quickly. I moved really quickly when I saw the sign. So where will the police park once I get to park there? And is there going to be a special mayor's parking spot?
That's in the north parking lot. In discussions with the chief of police, and he can follow up on this, but they've reached alternate plans. So,
thank you. Yes, basically, currently we park one patrol vehicle. That's what we try and park out there. And we have one volunteer vehicle that typically parks out there. And rarely do we have additional patrol vehicles. We have enough space in the back. So the police sign will be removed, and we will have that at the designated spot just adjacent to that. So it should actually open up additional parking for customers.
Thank you. We appreciate that. And I think that's all my questions. I have a few comments for later. So I'm going to open this to the public. Is there anyone?
One more
question from Jeff.
I apologize. I always do this. So actually, this may be a question for Councilmember Nichols. Do we keep the same number of parking spaces, or did we add 3 like we did in the first go-around?
We added.
Okay, I knew you counted them.
We added.
Okay, so the same number of ads as we did last time.
Okay, so I'm going to open this to the public. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to come forward on this one?
Good evening, Council. Mr. Ryan. I just wanted to...
Could you give us your name, too?
Robert, 6th Street, North Grover Beach.
Thanks.
Just want to let the Council know, and Mr. Murray, that our club, the Rotary Club of Five Cities, ECO,
will be more than willing to take care of all the landscaping on a regular basis, not just the one corner. And we're more than willing to help in helping plant and irrigation, what have you. Just wanted to let you know that.
I had a question for you. Everybody's probably tired of hearing me ask this question, and I would really like, because we're going to have a beachfront lodge that's quite ecologically sound, I would really love to see us have native plants there, so that will attract native insects and native birds. And I'm wondering how you guys would feel about that. I guess, I don't know if it's your remit, but if you're going to be doing the planting, what your thoughts
absolutely.
On that would be.
Yes, that's what I would recommend.
You don't have to say that.
No, okay. I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much.
Certainly.
Anybody else have any questions of the Echo Rotary, since I opened it up there? Any other comments from the public? Eco, I'm sorry. Okay, bring it back to the council. We'll remember Eco Rotary for the future. And thank you for your contribution. And how about some conversation? Council Member Nichols, what do you think?
I'm perfectly happy with their recommendation.
Which one?
I have no more questions. Their number one recommendation.
Okay. So that the number one is just the parking lot.
Yes, and sidewalk improvements around
right.
it.
Right. Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
Thank you. Yes, I absolutely am in favor of the first alternative, which is the parking lot. However, I would like to also include, I think, the water conservation. We've got a budget remaining there of $5,000, so I think we should include that as well to help with the trees and whatever else. Right? Yep.
Yeah, and Mayor, with your permission, we can do that without a budget amendment. So since the budget's there, if your direction is to proceed with landscaping, we can just do that
okay.
without any further
so
motion tonight.
Okay, so that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to go forward with the others, but we've got this structural deficit. I just can't, in good conscience, do that. So as much as I'd like to see the sign on the building, I just don't know about that. But that would probably be the only thing that I would consider, would be the sign on the building and additional funding. So thank you.
And I'm in support of the staff's recommendation as well, and along with the landscape irrigation. And if we did have the money, the next thing would be the building signage for me as well. It, not sure if that's something that potential grant funds, obviously CDGB would not be applicable to those, but perhaps some other grant funds. Or obviously we don't want the Nike Grover Beach City Hall. for funding opportunities, but I think that would be the next opportunity would to put some nice signage up there and identify City Hall. But now's not, unfortunately, the moment to do that, I don't think.
Well, that's very interesting, because I want to go for the whole thing. The reason I say that is because I think it's been really carefully thought out, and I think it's been done on a shoestring, and it seems just efficient to just do it. It's not a huge amount more. I guess it's another $32,000, so it's pretty big. But I did want to put in a plug for the computer desk. The city manager explained a little bit about that to me. Originally, I think we thought it might be about $7,000, but because we actually already have an extra computer, we can just set up what we've already got there. Is that right?
I think it would be... The remaining cost would mm-hmm. be that of building a accessible counter, and then getting the wiring to it. There's unfortunately a bit of a wiring challenge
mm-hmm.
Because there's two buildings here. Really, this is the new building you're in, and then there's a second building, which is really that hallway area, and then the really old building is just beyond that, where the new office is. And so, the separation of three buildings has created some interesting wiring challenges, which are going to be up into a couple $1,000s to
and some interesting
resolve.
History I'd never heard.
Yeah.
There you go.
So.
The other advantage to it, and the reason the city manager wanted to pass this on to me, was because it actually does reduce some staff time. So if instead of having staff look things up and print things out, they can direct people to the computer, it would save some staff time. So it seems to me that that would be a cost-effective choice to make. We've got the computer, and if it's going to save some staff dollars, I think that's positive. So anybody else got any other discussion on that before we make a motion?
Actually, I do have a question on that. But I'll let Councilmember Bright or Mayor Pro Tem Bright go first, if she likes.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'll go after you.
Okay. Just going back to Mr. Ray's comment with regards to wiring. Obviously, the City Hall has Wi-Fi. Could we not retrofit a computer with a wireless card and basically save the wiring costs?
I'm not sure. It's certainly something to look into.
The chief has a really cool telephone that's totally wireless. If the chief can do it, that's really a good thought. Yeah.
I'm just concerned. I was thinking about this, as a matter of fact, over the weekend, and I'm concerned that if they don't have access to a computer at home where they can look things up, they're going to come here. They're going to take staff time, because they're not going to know how to do it here, is my concern. So they're going to have staff back there, and they're going to need the staff to come out and help them with using that computer, I'm concerned. So where in some instances it probably would save some staff time, but I'm concerned it could also be a drain on staff time. I'm concerned.
Staff have any suggestions on that? Any comments, anything we're missing on that?
I'll actually comment that I've heard both claims made by other cities. We did a little bit of background research on this, and some of the cities who had them said that they did spend additional staff time to go out and help people. Mm-hmm. I think in some of the larger cities, you see people using it as a convenience. You can get there and don't really have to directly. It's like the self-checkout line. Mm-hmm. If you're adept already, you can probably save yourself some time.
Did anybody else have any? Okay. All righty. Well, there's no additional comment, then I think we need a motion.
I will move that we go ahead and adopt the resolution amending the annual appropriation resolution number 12-60 to allocate $64,000 of additional funding from various sources to CIP number 263. The City Improvements Project for construction of parking lot and sidewalk improvements only.
Well, I would second that if we could modify it to include the landscaping, which is already there.
What?
The landscaping, which is already budgeted.
You can do that without modifying the resolution.
Oh, we can.
Yeah.
Well, I thought
That's
you
right.
said we had to. Okay. All right, then. Then I'll second that.
I think this is a roll call. I don't remember. Let's do a roll call. Thanks.
Yes.
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 Yes. So that one's carried. It's unanimous. And we are now moving to the council committee reports. So Mayor Pro Tem Bright, you're first on the list. Are you ready, Councilmember Lee?
We'll let
the Mayor Pro Tem look at her notes.
I actually had an opportunity to go to the Homeless Services Oversight Committee or Oversight Council Housing Committee today, and not the full committee yet, but as the alternate, and got a education on lots of terms.
acronyms.
And actually, not so many acronyms, but lots of terms between jurisdictional and or transitional. Homelessness and episodic homelessness and chronic homelessness and more than I ever wanted to learn. But I will be also attending a training on this upcoming Friday for the full HSOC Homeless Services Oversight Council. And if when how do I put it? Currently, I'm the alternate. If I do move forward into just been seating, I do have the meeting dates for everybody, or if that does get transferred to someone else, then we've got those dates. They've established the dates for those meetings as well. And then other committees still are waiting to attend. So
okay.
IWMA is in March. VCB, or Visitors and Conference Bureau, is later this month.
Great. Yeah, I think... good point. We will need to have another committee discussion agendized once we have our new council member. And Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. I just had one, and that was the County Housing Trust Fund. It was actually a retreat. So we met with the board and then the commissioners. It was very interesting. Actually, I was surprised to see how... in relation to the other cities and that are involved in the trust fund in the county, how much funding that Grover Beach has received from the trust fund. Actually, we've received, gosh, I'd say we're probably third out of all of the cities. So, I mean, they've only been around really about actively lending about 8 years, I believe. But so, and when we introduced ourselves and all, I said, we really haven't had an opportunity to, you know, to take advantage of a lot of the funding. And then they show this slide, and there we are, like third out of that. So I think it was just that one affordable mm-hmm. housing project that People Self Help mm-hmm. did. But I think it was about $700,000. So anyway, so that was interesting to see. But as a matter of fact, Slo County is the ninth least affordable in the country. In the country. Mm-hmm. It's just unbelievable. And 35% of the renters in this county pay over 50% of their income for housing. So that's pretty interesting. So it's a very interesting commission, and so I'm enjoying it. So that was... those were the highlights.
Okay. Mayor, Councilmember Nichols?
No.
Reports? Okay. I've had a lot of meetings. Unfortunately, I missed the Economic Vitality Corporation meeting because we had a last-minute, at least to me, conference call on the on our hotel and conference center. And just a brief report on that. We may get on the March agenda. And if not, we'll definitely be on their April agenda for the Coastal Commission. We thought we'd made March, and they came back to us with some staff had some amendments they'd like us to look at. And if we decide to look at those, I think I'm correct about this, if we decide to look at those, then we would need to wait until April. We are on the March agenda. Oh. However... We're going to spend the next 2 days conferring with mm-hmm. staff and to see if we can come up with some solutions. So this was news to us today. So, yes, we thought we were March. We are March, but it may be prudent for the long term to wait one more month and work out some bugs that we had been unaware of.
Hmm. So, and do you know where the April meeting is?
April is Santa Barbara, which the advantage to that, of course, is that we could get a lot more folks locally to go down and support.
Yeah.
San Diego is a long haul.
Yep, and you know, mm-hmm. 1 month, if it's that important and you've got those bugs that really need to be dealt with, it might be the best thing.
Yeah, thank you. Chief, did I miss anything there that you thought we should say on that?
Sounds good.
Thank you. We did talk for over an hour about that today in a conference call. And then the Slo Council of Governments and the Slo Regional Transit Authority. The major issue there, they run smoothly and they run well, and the major issue there was still Highway 1. And the bikers who came along, the bicyclists who came along, and some drivers as well, who were concerned about, I always forget what you call that stuff, that gravel on the side of the chip seal, the 3/4-inch chip seal instead of the 1/2-inch chip seal or something along those lines. the real issue with that is that Highway 1 is a national highway, and it's known worldwide. National Geographic call it the 12th most beautiful place in the world. So they're losing business. There are people who would come from for the summer who aren't going to come because they can't ride their bikes on the road or they don't want their classic cars chipped. So it's a huge issue, and we gave some really strong direction to the Transit Authority, not the Transit Authority, the Caltrans, to fix it. So there you go. They got their marching orders. We'll see how they march. but hopefully if it were done by June 1st, it might save tourism in North County. If it's not, they're going to have a bad year.
Oh,
so
my.
It's critical. And I did ask the EBC to weigh in on that to support SLOCOG, and I also asked the Visitor Convention Bureau to weigh in on that. One of the advantages of sitting on multiple committees over the years is that you begin to see how we can work together and support each other for the county. So
is it the half chip or the three-quarter?
I think it's three-quarter that's the problem.
That's the problem. So
right.
It's bigger.
It's the big stuff. Yeah, yeah. It just doesn't get squashed down into the tarmac or asphalt. Speaking British, sorry, into the asphalt. And then the South Slo County Sanitation District, I presented a report at our last meeting. I'd actually compiled some of the issues that had arisen over the years that looked as though we hadn't dealt with them yet and asked that we take some action on those. I would encourage people from the public to come along to those meetings because it really is important what happens when your toilet flushes and what that cost is. And so especially when they're actively seeking some public input, they do meet on the first and third Wednesdays of every month at 6 o'clock at the Oceano Community Services District Boardroom. And that's tomorrow night. Yeah, so if you have opinions about some of the things that we talked about tonight, we'd love to hear from you. And we can move now to city council member items. Are there any city council member items tonight? No? No? Okay. And any council communications?
I just had one council communication in the fact that I attended a skate park meeting last Wednesday, Tuesday. So where there's some significant discussion, and it looks like there's going to be having a, lack of a better term, a play day to clean up the park this upcoming Saturday, starting at 8 a.m.
8 a.m.
running until we're finished. So, and there's they're hoping to get as many people out there as possible to pull weeds, paint some buildings, power wash some concrete, and generally make it a great place for the skate park to happen once it opens, with a soft opening March 1st, and then a full opening later in the month. So, that's
great. Yeah. And that reminds me of our previous item where we were talking about our signage. I'm wondering if any of the service groups would be interested in, you guys are doing enough, but if there are service groups that would be interested, perhaps one of them could sponsor some signage for us. That's maybe a reasonable size of a project. City manager, acting city manager, any reports?
I have nothing at this time.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for...
Should I talk for one? Yes.
Well, thank you for sitting in, because when city manager Peralt isn't here, we really notice it, so thanks for standing in. And city attorney, reports and comments?
No report, no comments.
Okay, and there are no closed sessions, so it is 9:53, and I'm going to adjourn this council meeting.